March 16, 2025, and this is a gigantic news day. I mean, it's off the charts. It's a 10 on the Richter scale.
InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
Sources. Trump put the CIA into Venezuela to prepare for a regime change about 3 months ago, 4 months ago, and then he started blowing up the boats, hoping to get a provocation, the drug boats, by the dictator Maduro. And then I also told you, get ready to hit ground targets, then ground invasion, if they can't topple him by triggering a internal coup. Now, I don't like regime change, and I've never backed any of these wars. I mean, I was in high school during the Panama invasion, but I even knew then it was just to cover up drug dealing that was going on between George Herbert Walker Bush and Manuel Noriega. But you're about to see this, but on a much wider scale, and they don't have a very powerful military there, but still that could go sideways. Plus, the CIA could set Trump up like the Bay of Pigs with Kennedy, and that botched by design operation in the early 60s. So whereas I'm not going to cry if Maduro gets removed, I still think this is a bad idea. But it's being done overall in the larger strategic balance to intimidate China and to dominate economically, because this is the type of thing that an empire does when it's in trouble. That's my view of it. Nick J. Fuentes was going to be here earlier in the morning, but he was working on a project so late, he said, I'll just come in live. So he's here in the first hour. He's going to go jump on an airplane back to Chicago to host his show tonight. It's some mystery time. Nick, good to have you here with us in the studio.
Great to be with you. Yes, well, we're going to war. The president of no new wars is striking again. And I think what's really interesting about it, because there's now all this reporting about how it's escalating, they're talking about striking on land. The CIA's deployed doing some covert operations, which I don't know how those are covert operations if they're announcing them on the news media. That's not very covert. Not a lot of element of surprise. But what I saw about Venezuela last week is they said they actually worked out a deal between Maduro and Rick Grenell. This was in the New York Times. And there were some people disputed this. There was some back and forth, apparently, from the anonymous sourcing on this. But they said that Rick Grenell had reached a deal that Maduro was effectively going to surrender, realigning Venezuela with Washington, giving us a cut of the gold, the oil, all future mining, extraction, processing, anything like that. And they say that it was Rubio, the Secretary of State and now the National Security Advisor, it's Rubio that shut down the deal as recently as 2 weeks ago. He said that we won't even settle for Caracas realigning to Washington as long as Maduro is in power. So they're insisting actually specifically on regime change. Not even necessarily that they want the realignment, but they actually want Maduro to go.
And that's very astute of you to point that out. This is definitely part of the art of the deal pressure, because Trump needs Venezuela to stop being the piggy bank for the Democratic Party. That's part of another strategic move. But who do you think is going to come out on top? Do you think Rubio and the neocons will get what they want, or do you think they'll do the deal?
I hope they do the deal. But honestly, Rubio, he's one of the most powerful Secretary of State in modern history, and that's because he consolidated control over the National Security Council. After they terminated Mike Waltz back in the spring for being too close to Netanyahu, everybody said that was a great move. This is, really positive. But Rubio has basically absorbed the NSC. So he's got a lot of clout, certainly more than Grenell. And he wants Maduro gone. He's a Cuban refugee or child of Cuban exiles, Cuban refugees, extremely anti-communist. I think in the final tally, I think Rubio's going to get what he wants. I think they're going to try as hard as they can to goad Venezuela into war, and they're going to get their regime change, which they've wanted for 10 years, even since the first Trump admin.
I think that's accurate. The only question is, will elements of the CIA set up Trump during this?
Well, that's always historically how they do it. I like what you said about Bay of Pigs, because it's the same exact playbook, which is you go to regime change in the Caribbean, in Latin America, it goes south, and it brings down the whole administration. So
we'll be right back in 60 seconds. Share the live feeds now.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right. You heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down. And now here we are dominating the Apple store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way. So if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Peace prize, and he, you know, helped end seven conflicts, hadn't got Ukraine done yet. But as I said 4 months ago, 3.5 months ago, I said, look, they're going to start blowing these boats up. They're hoping for a response by Maduro. It is a dictatorship. I'm not going to cry if they get removed. But then we remove something bad and usually put something worse in. The CIA put Saddam Hussein in and then later removed him, put something in far worse. Just like they just removed Assad and put in the global head of Al-Qaeda in Syria. And so I told you months and months ago, I said, the CIA is there trying to do regime change right now. Maduro came out then and said, I give up. I want to come in. By the way, Biden said, ship the illegals up there. Here's the documents. Yes, we've been laundering money for them. We'll quit. We'll quit. Because they've been a client of the Democrats and Communist China. And as you said, Nick Fuentes earlier, Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, he doesn't want that. We heard there was a deal last week. Is this Venezuela going back on the deal, or was that seen as a sign of weakness? Gut level, I think there's going to be regime change, and I think we're going to see, on the current trajectory, fireworks, U.S. aircraft destroying bases, and if that isn't enough, I think we're going to see a replay of the 1989 invasion of Panama. What do you think, Nick Fuentes? Then we'll segue into Israel and the peace deal. Is it a real peace deal? Where is that going with Gaza? And then into the big one, Ukraine. And Trump on the phone right now with Putin about to send cruise missiles over there. That's not what you do when you want a peace prize.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as Venezuela is concerned, I agree with you. I think that they want regime change, and this is consistent with what they did in the first term. This is John Bolton's maximum pressure policy all over again. And the reason that I'm against a regime change like you, it's not even necessarily that they'll get something worse. It's that you never know how it's going to go. And in Latin America, there's a huge history. Some of it's good, but a lot of it is a failure. And the invasion in Grenada, for example, even though that was a tiny country, didn't go so well in the early stages. In Cuba, it didn't go so well. It never actually goes quite how you think it's going to go when it comes to regime change. And the other thing is, just like in Trump's first term, you always get instability. And so when we did regime change in Syria, we got a refugee crisis in Germany. When we tried to do regime change in Venezuela in the first term, why do you think there were 10 million Venezuelans that came here under the Biden administration? It's because of the hyperinflation, starvation, instability in Venezuela, because we actually started imposing the oil sanctions from 2017 to 2021.
Same thing with blowing up the Middle East. We got to fight up over there than over here, and then it's all the refugees we open up to them.
Yeah. Fight them over there and then bring them all over here anyway. It doesn't even make any sense. So I think this is what the CIA and the Pentagon, this is what they've always wanted. They want Maduro to go, and they want to claw Venezuela back into the orbit of the United States as part of the broader New Monroe Doctrine, just like they did with Argentina, with Milei a couple of years ago, although that was peaceful. They're trying to do that now with Venezuela, and I think you're on the money. The broader context is World War IV. We are trying to deter China from invading Taiwan. We are trying to get Putin to come to the table on a deal. We're trying to get Iran to give up their nuclear weapons. And historically, Trump loves to intervene in these lower level conflicts to demonstrate his willingness to use force in other conflicts. So you bomb.
Exactly. He uses this as a saber rattle.
Right, right. Bomb Venezuela, convince Iran you're serious. Just like they did with Syria 5 years ago in their negotiations with North Korea and China. So I think that's the move. You're on the money. I think regime change is imminent. It's going to be fireworks.
And we go back to what we started with. You can't underestimate Ratcliffe and the CIA clearly working against Trump, just like his deputy head of the DOJ, keeping Republicans that were put in jail for exposing election fraud, keeping them in high security, blocking criminal investigations into what happened to me that were starting, you're calling Trump supporters fringe. That's the deputy AG. And then you've got all of, you know, these other cases going on where Trump has the CIA director that knew all this that was going on in his first administration when he was the head of national intelligence, where Gabbard is today. And we know he's been working against Trump. It's even coming out in mainline news, but still he's over there. If Trump thinks he's just going to go in there into Venezuela and not have the danger of the CIA set him up, that's their main mission. I think Trump's walking into a trap, because part of me is for regime change, because I don't like communist and Maduro, and they've been funding the Democrats, so I have a problem, but you just can't engage in black magic. You can't look at something one-dimensional and not look at second, third-order consequences. So now that I've really had time to think about it, I think they are going into Venezuela one way or the other. They want to topple it without an invasion, but I think when push comes to shove, Trump's going to do it because he has the fentanyl argument and all the rest of it, saying, you know, that's a war against us, but I just smell a trap, Nick.
I'm with you, and I think that the key distinction, which you're right about, is the realignment versus regime change. Because what a lot of people don't get is Venezuela is our jurisdiction. It's in the Western Hemisphere, and according to the Monroe Doctrine, that makes it our business. And Maduro is doing business with our adversaries, China, Iran, Russia. So, of course, it's preferable that we have a different regime in Venezuela that isn't socialist, that isn't aligned with Beijing and Moscow, but when you go in and force a regime change, it's Pandora's box. You don't know what you're getting. You're getting instability. You're getting violence. It might work. It might not. Maybe they bring the violence to our shores. You think some of these millions of people that came here in the past 10 years from Venezuela, you don't think some of them work for the Venezuelan regime or for narco terrorists? You just never know what you're going to get.
So, oh, they definitely have sleeper teams here that are very real. So does Iran. What if we actually obliterate Iran and they hit the doomsday button and activate their Hezbollah that is here?
The war comes to our shore, and that's just what you can never predict. So hopefully, and I hope that Trump prevails, because I believe in my heart of hearts that his intuition is against regime change and intervention. And what it looks like from the outside looking in is a maximum pressure strategy. They put a $50 million bounty on Maduro's head. They're bombing the coast. They're talking about bombing on land. They're trying to create instability in the regime so that it collapses by itself without them having to actually land on the shore or do a ground invasion. That being said, the Maduro regime has been extremely durable. And so I don't know actually that that's going to work.
And how do we know that some contractors or some sub-Pentagon group doesn't do a Gulf of Tonkin or USS Liberty and attack one of our ships or claim they were attacked, or the sinking of the Maine in 1898 to get us in the Spanish-American War, starting in Cuba? I mean, these things don't just rhyme, they repeat.
Yes. Well, you have to assume they're going to do that. And that's partially why they're setting up. They're putting those naval assets in the region, begging Venezuela to make a mistake and to provoke the United States. And then, like you said, whether it's contractors or freelancers in the CIA, then they get the war that they wanted.
Remember, these are people that'll blow up the Nord Stream pipeline and have the guts and the chutzpah to blame the Russians.
Right.
And right. Let's go back to the Lusitania. The Germans, for 3 months, put ads in the New York Times, Boston Globe, do not sail on this flagship. It is carrying weapons to the war. the British advertised it, and it let passengers get on. Finally, a German U-boat sunk it, and we entered the war because of the emotionalism of this. So this is how this happens.
Every time. Every time that's how it happens. And what you have every single time is they put our assets basically in harm's way. They put our assets in the region like they're doing in Venezuela. We have the boats there because they know if we're acting provocatively that Venezuela is going to make the first move, and then you have the pretext. And the way that it works is the public does not want to go to war in Venezuela, but if attacked, they will support us going in. And so I think that you're on the money on that. The intelligence community, they want this war. They always have. They'll get it. They'll get what they want every time. So
I think there's about a 90% chance. And I was the first to say this 4 months ago, this is going to happen. I think about a 90% chance the next 2 months, I think there's some provocation. Oh, one of our ships got attacked. And then boom, Trump hits their airfields, hits some of their main military bases. And if that doesn't topple, because, you know, the CIA is trying to get a new government to overthrow, so they'll do the work. If that doesn't work, I think Trump might double down and actually send in the Marines, who they've got training all over the Mediterranean right now. I mean, all over the Caribbean.
I agree with you. And you know what a big part of this was is that Machado, the opposition leader that they're claiming won the 2024 election in Venezuela, they just gave her the Nobel Peace Prize. And so they've been setting this up even during the Biden administration. This is just like the...
She gave the award to Trump.
Right. Yeah, she said, actually, it's for you, Mr. President. And it could not be more obvious. They're setting her up. You can get rid of USAID. They're still doing the same activities, which is seeding the ground for a CIA-backed opposition leader to fill in for Maduro the second that they take him out.
So putting a bookend on that, because I want to shift to Ukraine and the same issues, just on a bigger scale. What do we do to get Trump to de-escalate out of this? Is there any chance?
I think it's out of our hands. I think that they put this stuff in the Caribbean, and it really comes down to the people that are actually operating down there. I think you're 100% correct. You get these CIA contractors. You get these freelancing types. John Ratcliffe seems like a cowboy. They are going to create the provocation for the war that they always wanted. And, you know, we could kick and scream on Twitter, but at the end of the day, those are the ones making the decision. So I think there's very little we could do to protest it.
Well, we're going to find out if Trump has control of the CIA.
Yeah.
Because if they sabotage this, which they'd be willing to do, that's a bigger prize than getting Venezuela, is to sabotage Trump and then get Venezuela later.
Right.
I mean, wow. I mean, Trump cannot trust these people. He can trust heck, 7 people, but people that don't know, the military, like, drops the bombs and then follows, you know, the orders of that, but it's the CIA directing all this.
Yes.
And so the Pentagon's having to literally sit there and get information from the CIA. I don't believe anything they say.
Me neither. And I'm not going to believe anything that comes out of this situation. Cause, and you and me, it's funny. We're always on these shows and it's like, I think the biggest thing we could do is say, do not trust what comes out of the media. Because when they run the story that says Venezuela attacks the U.S., we got to be there to say, you know, you can't trust that.
As much as I don't like Maduro, Maduro's been extremely restrained. He knows that he's being set up.
Right.
And that segues. So I started months ago, oh, Russia's going to launch sneak attacks in Europe with Spetsnaz, Special Forces. Oh, Russia's going to launch drones. Then these drones right off the edge of Russia in the woods suddenly start going and flying on the edge of Poland and stuff. Well, we already had Spiderweb, the CIA and NATO, ship them into 4,000 miles deep into Russia to blow up their Big Bear bombers. So we know they can, you know, in that huge, you know, border they've got, bring a few drones over, launch them on radar, have them fly over. And then NATO was ready to go to war just off a few drones flying around. Russia goes, those aren't ours. That's a false flag. Now the British government's like, Russia's preparing to attack London with drones, and they've got special forces that are about to attack major European cities with no evidence. And the Russians are like, this is ridiculous. You're the ones surrounding us. You've got nuclear weapons. We don't want a nuclear war. We don't want to invade Europe. You're the ones blowing up your own pipelines that destroy your people. So the idea that Russia is going to launch drones on, it's like the Blitz, Hitler's back. This is what you see right before big false flags. This is crazy stuff.
The drone thing is very disconcerting because we don't actually even know what's going on. And this has been going on now for months and getting very little media coverage, at least in the mainstream. You have these decoy drones. They're not even real drones. They're not fixed wing drones. They're not even the traditional quadcopters. They're like decoy drones. They're fake drones. And they're flying over all the major airports in Denmark, in the Baltic states, in Romania, in Poland. And Russia denies that they are theirs. And in the West, they say they don't know the origin.
Yeah, right.
In Denmark, they're saying we don't even know where these are coming from. And so you don't know, because on the one hand, you could say it's plausible that Russia is sending in the drones to probe Western Europe's defenses. If the war escalates, you might say that the first thing Russia would do is go after the supply chains in Western Europe or punish the countries that are arming Ukraine. If the war escalates, maybe that's a contingency. At the same time, Ukraine and NATO have a very clear interest in a false flag, bringing in drones that originate from Ukraine or somewhere else to create the pretext to escalate against Russia and say, you know, these are Russian drones. That's why we need to arm Ukraine.
Well, even before the Russians said it, people go, oh, you're a Russian puppet. No, I said it before them. Like a year ago, I said one of the big things would be launch drones. You can smuggle it right across the border of Belarus or Russia, giant multi-thousand border. You just launch it a mile in, and then these drones that launched a few weeks ago, they said were Russian, literally came off the edge of their territory. The Russians have no interest. They have satellites. They have all this other stuff. They've hacked into everything. They don't need to fly retarded drones around airports.
Right.
I mean, it's horse crap, people. It's a total escalation is what it is. Because it's the perfect deniability. They have nuclear submarines. They have hypersonic missiles, Mach 15. They don't need retarded drones, you know, that fly out of Russia and then like fly 50 miles an hour for an hour over to Poland. I mean, it's the most idiotic thing imaginable. Russians don't want provocation. They don't have the motive. Ki bono.
That being said, if you do war game it out, you might see that there's an angle, which is to intimidate the West, because what this is...
So you think they might be wanting to, like probe how the West responds?
I think so, and specifically the air defenses, because what the war has become in Ukraine is a drone war. In the past, it was an artillery war. Now it's become a drone war, and both Russia and Ukraine have become drone superpowers.
So are you saying it's supposed to draw drone defenses out of Ukraine back to Europe?
Not necessarily drone defenses, but demonstrating to Europe that if it turned into a hot war, they would be vulnerable. That Russia could swarm them with drones, and there's very little Europe would be able to do to defend
their... You mean conventionally?
Yes, to defend their critical
infrastructure. Because Russia says they're going right to nuclear. They've demonstrated on national TV what they're going to do. They're going to blow up all the military bases with nukes.
I think that's a lot of talk. I think they say that. Because, and then this is historically how you balance. If you're conventionally weaker, you threaten nuclear. And after World War II, the United States was conventionally weaker than the Soviets, so they supplemented with Strategic Air Command. Likewise, now Russia cannot match the United States conventionally, so they talk about nukes. But
I respect your opinion, but you actually believe that Russia would use low-tech drones, in some cases thousands of miles away from their border, that just pop up in the city? I see the MI6 creating hysteria, you know, like little green men. They literally say little green men, but not from Mars, Russian. Well, what about them claiming Spetsnaz are about to shoot up big sporting events?
I think that's ridiculous. I think that's totally ridiculous. And I'm just wargaming it out. I'm just wargaming and talking about all possibilities. But I think you're right. It does not make a ton of sense for Russia to do something so provocative like what they're doing. The dummy drones, and that's the thing, they're not even real drones hanging out over these airports. It doesn't seem like a serious tactic. So I tend actually to lean more towards you. I'm just wargaming out all the different possibilities because, you know, in fairness, the Russians are not meeting Trump halfway. Trump wants to end the war. Putin does not. Putin wants to keep going.
And that's because over 20 times he let them cross a red line, and the Russian hardliners said, "You're out." If you do, I mean, Putin has a gun to his head. You know.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So I mean, and they're like, the Russians are like, "You pushed up to us. It's that you got hypersonic missiles. Every time we work with you, you screw us." And that's why they're finally like, "Okay." It's like when somebody punches you in the face, you're like, "All right, you want to get in a fight? Let's go."
Well, and that's the problem when you're in World War III is you lose control of the ladder of escalation.
Escalation, yeah.
And you can't trust the other side. There's no rapport. There's no diplomatic communication. And so eventually you get forced into reciprocal responses. Russia has to keep going. America has to keep ratcheting it up to try to deter them. And so it really takes kind of an extraordinary will to break that cycle. So that's the trap we're in.
And you've been a big critic of Trump, big supporter early on. Obviously, you don't support the Democrats, but you've given him some credit, you know, on the border, trying to accelerate things. But overall, I think he doesn't want war. And where would we be if Kamala was in?
I totally agree. I think that it would be because look at what Biden did right before Trump got into office. He started to greenlight strikes inside Russia by Ukraine further and further into Russian territory. The Ukrainians had that outpost in Kursk in Russia where they had actually invaded Russian soil. So no doubt about it, the Democrats, if they were in charge, we might be in a war, a hot war with Russia already. So I agree with you that Trump, on a gut level, is anti-war, does not want World War III. I think he definitely doesn't want war with Russia. And he's made a real overture towards Putin ever since getting into office to that end, trying to pull us back from the brink.
But Putin has said Trump doesn't really run the national security system. So the real national security system in NATO isn't even... Trump has come halfway, but when Trump goes to NATO, they don't agree to the half Trump's offering. So that's why Putin goes, it's not being offered. Because we can't move on this if you aren't moving.
Right. It's really a four-way diplomacy. It's U.S., Russia, Ukraine, and Europe. And Ukraine and Europe have exerted enormous pressure on Washington to stay in the war. Every time Trump talks about maybe pulling the plug on Ukraine, there they are, the leaders of the U.K., France, Germany, and Zelensky pulling up to the White House to tell him, you can't leave this war. So there is enormous pressure, and I think that if it were up to Trump and Putin, maybe they could work out a deal, but you're hitting on something important, which is that Trump is not actually in complete control of the foreign policy apparatus of NATO and the United States. So,
well, that's what Putin says, and it's true. So Putin's like, how do I negotiate with you? Remember, when Trump was first elected, he goes, hopefully he gets control, we'll see. And now Putin's like, he's not, you know, he means well, but they're not really making a deal here.
Right. And what Putin has said all the time is they will not address the root causes of the conflict. Washington still will not take NATO membership off the table for Ukraine, which is just a level, that's just denial. Ukraine cannot be in NATO, will not be in NATO, but they won't let it go for the sake of peace. So you're exactly right about that. It takes two to tango. Ultimately.
All right. I want to shift gears in domestic stuff with the left gearing up for what's going to happen to the Democratic Party. The poll numbers are in everywhere, including internal. They're going to lose even more if they held the midterms now. They're getting more and more desperate. You got Pritzker saying we're going to arrest ICE agents. I mean, they're talking about a civil war. A little prelude, and then after the break we'll get into it. What's the Democratic Party going to do?
I think that the Democrats, unfortunately, it's going to be more of the same. They're very predictable. And so you would think that after the shooting of Charlie Kirk, you think about what's happening in Chicago, they might relent and they might actually lower the temperature, but they only know one language, which is escalation. Their back is against the wall. They're lashing out. And so the rhetoric is just getting more extreme. You know, I'm in Chicago. The detention center is in Broadview, Illinois. It's not far from where I live. And you see the governor of Illinois, the mayor of Chicago, they're actually inciting the crowds to attack ICE. They told the Chicago police to stand down when ICE was being swarmed.
They're saying, quote, rise up forcefully.
And this is in the context.
You know, if you and I were doing that, we'd be arrested. I mean,
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'd be arrested yesterday if we were saying anything like that. And you actually have ICE getting attacked by terrorists. There was a story a couple weeks ago, an ICE vehicle got boxed in by 10 cars. One of them had a semi-automatic rifle. ICE shot her. They got out of the car, radioed for help from the police. Chicago police stood down.
It was two that day. They rammed them and drove up the road and ran. It was like all out.
Right. That was one major incident.
That woman was driving like she was a Green Beret or something.
And she's like,
it's not easy to drive like that. Like ramming, like up under the truck, driving them 40 miles. I mean, that driver knew what they were doing.
Yeah, it was full speed. That was like a serious operation.
Yeah.
So I think the Democrats, the tactics are just getting more extreme. You got this No Kings protest coming up, and these things are getting bigger and escalating.
Let's come back with that, because that's the big one. And then I want to talk about the Charlie Kirk thing, because, you know, I was just with Tucker. He says he doesn't know what the hell's going on. And so I was like, hey, I'm not going to say Israel did this out of the gate, but now I don't believe the official story. So, you know, but I had to get more evidence. I don't just say something because it's provocative. Nick Fuentes in studio. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats and the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit. He was right about every step of the way.
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam, from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultra methylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Set
because somebody's going to jump in a car and get to the airport and get out of here back to Chicago to do a show tonight. But clearly the Democrats with the Podesta plan and the Civil War plan, they're now saying Civil War. They're now saying they're doing it. The last ingredient will be a false flag. We've got Pritzker saying, oh, once we get back in, you're all going to go to jail. Border Patrol, ICE doing a clearly constitutional job. This is terroristic activity. You've got Schumer saying aggressively, violently rise up. You've got Hakeem Jeffries doing it. This is their counter plan because their back's against the wall. You got the No Kings demonstration this weekend. I'm not saying that's when the false flag's going to happen, but we're in the zone for this right now. I want to play a brief clip of Pritzker. You're governor up in Illinois, and you live in Chicago, so you're uniquely positioned to talk about this. Here's just a small sampling of this very escalatory rhetoric.
I don't trust at all that the Trump administration is going to hold any of these people responsible. We will. We're going to call for accountability. And indeed, you know, the tables will turn someday. These people should recognize that maybe they're not going to get prosecuted today, although we're looking at doing that. But they may get prosecuted after the Trump administration for the things that they did because the statute of limitations won't have run.
So this is like saying, If the feds, I've robbed a bank, and the feds come with a warrant to arrest me, and then the governor of a state says, I'm going to arrest you for arresting someone, you have a warrant. They have warrants, they have the law, it's one of the few things the feds are supposed to do. They're doing it, they're outnumbered, they're getting shot at, they're getting killed. And then this guy gets up there and literally says, we're going to throw your ass in jail. I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah, it's totally unprecedented. And, you know, I don't think it's insane to talk about civil war in this context, because for me, I was always skeptical that there would be any kind of civil conflict, because you would say, well, what are the sides? It doesn't seem that there's organized violence on two distinct sides. It doesn't seem like there's a contest of authority between two sides, because both sides respected the authority of the civilian leader of the military, of law enforcement, the supremacy of the federal government, etc. But what you have setting up right now is really a constitutional clash, where the federal government is coming in with National Guard, they're coming in with ICE, they're coming in with federal law enforcement, trying to enforce federal laws. The state government and even the city government, city of Chicago, are saying, we're going to arrest the federal law enforcement. We're not going to obey the federal laws. We have authority actually over the National Guard in our state. We ultimately have the authority. And you understand that there's large percentages of the population on either side that are going to go with Trump or go with Pritzker. And it comes down on some level to the loyalty of the military. And that's kind of like a scary, unprecedented situation.
Let me back you up. That's another. All these clips, CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, Washington Post. It's time for the military to turn on Trump, which is a coup. Well, if he was like putting us in concentration camps and, you know, cutting the energy off, yeah, no, he's following the law that we elected him for. So they're putting that talking point out.
Yes, and it's very clear that that is going to become a real clash, where let's say they deploy 200 National Guardsmen from Illinois to Texas. What if you have people that start to refuse? What if you have people in Chicago police that start to refuse the orders of the police captain? It's really coming down to, in a way that I've never seen in my lifetime,
a civil war where both sides pick a side.
Yes.
Inside families. And because the police in Chicago on the scanner, they're like, we're not going to help people that are being attacked. Really? And so I think you're going to see mainly military and police side with the good side.
I hope so. And I think that in Chicago, you will see that. But it's going to come down to the men with guns, the men with the guns and the badges. Who are they personally loyal to? What is their interpretation? Who do they believe actually wields the real authority? That's the definition of a constitutional crisis. It's a definition of a political crisis. I don't think people realize the peril we're in, least of all the Democrats who keep pushing.
Well, I agree. If you study history, the odds for them are 20 to 1. Now it'll be a carnage and destruction and hellish, but when I say 20 to 1, I'm being very liberal with that. 50 to 1, I don't see really any scenario where they don't end up being like an outlawed party. But I guess they're willing to have another civil war, and history repeats, another Republican, and you've got all this stuff unfolding. The Democrats are doing it again.
Well, and the shock troops of the left, what I am worried about is going to be the rioters. I think that Trump needs to get serious and look at Brandon Johnson and J.B. Pritzker and say they're inciting insurrection. By definition, that's what it is. Federal law enforcement is under attack. The detention centers are under attack. The vehicles are under attack. And they're calling on the police not only to stand down, but then they're turning around and inciting the protesters. And you got aldermen, you got Democrat Party officials coming to the detention center basically to stir up and incite
crowds. Breaking
in. Yeah. Yeah, banging on the desk and breaking into the facilities, demanding that they see the people that are being detained. And so.
And the Democrats won't decry it when the buildings get shot up.
They won't disavow. They encourage it.
Look at this AG candidate saying he wants to kill people by name and their kids, and then the governor candidate won't decry it.
Right, in Virginia. So there's just no one on their side that is pumping the brakes. That's where Trump has to go in and get serious and start.
Well, who do the feds call under a constitutional duty and they're overwhelmed? The cavalry is the National Guard. They're the ones calling for it. People ask, why did you call the National Guard in Texas when they shot up an ICE facility and killed two people a few weeks ago? It's because the Dallas police are aiding them. They right. don't need that.
Yes. Yeah, so fortunately, I think you're right. When it comes down to the police and the National Guard and the military, I think ultimately they will have allegiance to the president. They'll have allegiance on some level to Trump. So I feel a little bit more secure, but it's not a good situation. We don't want to be talking about the political allegiance of the military. We want to have it very clear who has the constitutional authority to use force. So it's scary times. I don't like it. I wish both sides would take a step back, but Trump needs to step in and finish the job, in my opinion. I think that if Pritzker and Brandon Johnson will defy Trump, if Portland and other Newsom, for that matter, if they're defying Trump, Trump needs to step in and show them that the federal government.
That's right. L.A. County's declared an emergency, says they're going to abscond with the illegals, pay their rent, pay their legal with citizens' money. This is open rebellion. When you're funding an outside invasion force, saying we're going to protect them, we're going to resist, calling yourself the Western Alliance right out of the Podesta plan, they've launched the Podesta plan, Nick. I mean, we're here.
We've arrived. And it's interesting because after Trump won the election in 24, I think a lot of people thought that maybe things would calm down. And certainly on our side, there was a sense of triumphalism. People said, okay, we won once and for all. Woke is defeated. And I think you and Bannon are 100% on the money. No, it's only going to get more intense. You don't understand. This is 10 years of Trumpism and the Democrats being defeated. They get more dangerous. With their back against the wall, they get more desperate, more.
Oh, that was exactly. All the people, whoa, we're white-pilled. Get the popcorn. I was like, do you have any idea what's about to go down?
Right.
And then I get being mad at Trump not having problems and issues and things that are wrong. My issue was you got to dance with the one that brung you. The Democrats want to set up a permanent police state tyranny and outlaw the Republican Party because it's now the most popular party. They're done. Lowest fundraising ever. Lowest approval rating ever. They admit this. So all they've got now is totalitarianism. They're going to turn America into one giant Cuba or Venezuela. We cannot let that happen.
No, and don't get me wrong. I am with you 100% that Republicans administer the government better than Democrats. Trump has a better vision for America than the Democrats. My critique comes from, here's what I'm afraid of. I think that Trump is really barking up the wrong tree. He's putting ICE in Portland and Chicago, two of the most liberal cities. They're effectively daring the left to go and protest. The way that some of these ICE agents are taunting the protesters, the way they're posting hype edits of the deportations. I like that stuff in principle. But they're begging for the left to retaliate, and I hope that Trump is serious enough to see this through and follow through, because the next thing that's going to happen, mark my words, an ICE agent is going to get shot and killed. There's going to be an explosion. There's going to be left-wing terrorists.
Well, they're already shooting up their vans and killing the illegals inside instead of the agents. They're already trying to kill agents.
Yes, and my point is, because you're right, it's happening. They're attacking the vehicles, the sniper shot at them. They're going to succeed. Somewhere out there, there's a left-wing nut job that saw Crooks and Tyler Robinson, and they're planning the next anti-Republican, anti-ICE attack. And then it's going to be on Trump. What are you going to do? Are you going to bring down the effing hammer on Antifa? Are you going to bring down the hammer on the Democrats? Or through weakness, are you going to invite more of their
defiance?
Well,
that's really the answer, because Pritzker's all arrest Trump. It's great. Put him in prison. Now, you know, all these people, Letitia James, how dare you do this? You started it. You did it. So Trump's calling for the DOJ to indict Pritzker. But they're scared to do it because deputy head of the DOJ is a Democrat.
Right.
And so That's really the issue here is it all hinges on, and notice how Pritchard's even more arrogant now. You arrest illegal aliens doing your job, we'll put you in prison. I mean, that is outrageous.
They're totally emboldened. And that's my fear, is that Trump needs to come in with overwhelming force and remove hope from the equation and say, you think you're going to go up against the federal government and federal law enforcement? You're done. You're going to jail. Forget about 200 DHS, National Guard, whatever. They need to crush this insurrection, because the longer that they don't, the more emboldened that the Democrat leadership will get, Antifa, the radical left, the more emboldened they will get as time goes on, and they'll keep pushing.
Well, that's right. 200 troops to Memphis, 200 to Portland, 400 to Chicago is nothing. I mean, seriously, people go, oh, you're the anti-police state guy. Why are you for it? It's constitutional. It was the military and police gave me the documents 30 years ago, 25 years ago, where they were being trained. I was giving the videos. To literally confiscate guns, lock down cities, take over the capitals, arrest governors. That's martial law. If Trump was just planning a sneak attack on America and was going to do all, I would be against him. No, this is the left stirring up the insurrection, saying it's their plan, and then Trump thinks he's going to send a Band-Aid in there, and then thinking, oh, well, when they shoot our ICE people, they'll look bad. No, they're going to false flag the illegal aliens. That is the next thing.
Well, in the insurrection is you got 10 million illegals here, so they broke the law. That's an invading army. You try to deport them, and then you get left-wing terrorists shooting at law enforcement. You try to arrest those people. Then you get the Democratic governor saying, we're going to arrest the people arresting them. So, you know, because I get the same thing. People say, oh, well, what about Palantir and what about Trump? And it's like we're at war with these people. They are the invasion. This is a legitimate insurrection. It's a legitimate use of law enforcement and the military to put this down. And my fear is that Trump is barking up the wrong tree, because I don't believe that he and his administration are solid enough to follow through and do what is necessary.
Well, exactly. And I owe it to listeners to give them a sophisticated answer, what I really think. I'm not defending Palantir. It's all part of the same AI control grid surveillance thing. 90% of it is Microsoft, and Oracle is the big one. And Amazon that delivers packages. No, most of his business is surveillance and the grid, the Pentagon. But even under the system, the bureaucrats trying to blind Trump using it. Like take Denver a few months ago. The feds paid for license plate reading scanners decades ago. They used it for everything. The city blinded it for the feds so they couldn't use it. So you could have a debate about license plate reading stuff. Obviously, Pandora's box, it always leads somewhere bad. The point is, it's there for us, but when they're going to use it on MS-13 or, you know, TDA, oh, now you can. And that's why they're so pissed at Palantir, is that Trump's bringing it in and actually now using it on the left, which I get, it's a weapon. The point is, that's why it's all over the New York Times how bad Palantir is, only because now something's being used on them. That's why it's all got to be dismantled. But the barn door is already open here, Nick. So that's the point I get at.
Yeah, and on some level, I agree with that, in the sense that, you know, look, I don't want there to be a civil war. I don't want there to be this expansion of the executive branch and the federal government and all the rest under this administration. But what is the alternative? You see that the other side, the radical left, they want us dead. And after Charlie Kirk got shot, I tell this to my viewers, and, you know, maybe we could get into that, but whatever you think about who killed Charlie Kirk.
Well, if you move your flight, you can host the whole show.
I wish. Yeah, it'd be fun. But then I can't fly first class. I told you. I'd be in coach with
incredible.
I'd be in coach with Antifa and BLM on Southwest.
No, it makes sense. It'd be too dangerous.
Yeah. So, especially these days. But as far as Charlie Kirk is concerned, whoever pulled the trigger, it was the left that celebrated. You know, so people can
say... That's what I said. They were saying kill him, then he gets killed and they celebrate, and I'm just like, okay, looks like we had another tranny attack 2 weeks before. Exactly.
And it indicates, because, you know, a lot of people want to say, well, it's a foreign regime that killed Charlie Kirk, it's Israel, it's this one, that one. That may be true, and let's look at that independently. At the same time, whoever killed him...
Everybody knows, you and me. If we see evidence of Israel, we'll light their ass up right now.
100%, certainly. And there's some evidence that you could that you could show.
Yeah, there wasn't the first day. Now it's mounting that they're starting to be a little bit of, you know.
There's some things coming out, but it doesn't take away from the fact that the left saw Charlie Kirk get shot, and the guy's a moderate. I mean, the guy was not a radical. He was not an extremist. He was a mainstream conservative. Like, he was pro Students for Trump. Like, he led the youth movement for the Republican Party. He got shot in the neck, and you had maybe 100,000 left wingers in the country that said he forfeited his life because his views were too extreme. And so, you know, I got a lot of flack for saying this, but I said, the left, they really need to be crippled. They need to be fired from their jobs. This is
a psychotic cult. And then they said, oh, that's a minority. No, now you have the governor candidate in the lead, not decrying, people saying kill members of the legislature in Virginia's family and their kids. You have the AG saying he's going to kill people's kids when he's AG. He's going to murder cops. I mean, these are foaming at the mouth lunatics. This isn't some schizophrenic on the street corner. These are high-powered people doing this.
They literally want us dead, and they make no bones about that. They're not even hiding it anymore. And like you said, if they get back in power, they will use it against us. If they come back in 2028, and you know, we disagree on Vance, we've gone back and forth on that before, but I continue to believe a Republican's gotta win in 28, whoever it is, because if the left comes back to power, they're going to put you in jail, they're going to put me in jail, it's gonna be a war on us, they're gonna open the borders up, it's gonna be 10 million more illegals, and so I think people-
No,
maybe,
and I get bitching at Republicans and critiquing them to make them better. I'm not a lesser two evils guy, but this is even lesser two evils. I mean, with the Republicans, we have a populist beachhead. We're reforming it. With the Democrats, as you said, they're just getting worse. I mean, it's completely. I mean, one is cyanide, one is dog shit. Well, I'd rather eat dog shit than cyanide.
Right. Well, and look, I tried to even make an overture to the left, which I was heavily critiqued for on the right. Over the past couple of years, me and the left have found common cause in criticizing the genocide in Gaza. And I've even made an overture as a Christian and saying that liberals and Christians, you know, we sort of have something similar going on. We have the sympathy for the poor and the downtrodden. But they have rejected that wholeheartedly. I mean, you see, there's a piece in Current Affairs seething for practically 2,000 words. He's a Nazi. He's a Nazi. He loves Hitler. He's got to go. It's like there can be no alliance with these people. They literally hate us. They don't even see us as human. They're not looking to debate.
And they're so radical. Whenever they get power, they get more and more radical in a country, and then they start destroying themselves.
Right. Right.
That's why nobody, and I'm against exterminating the Palestinians, that's why none of the countries around there will take them in, because you think left's bad. The Palestinians, like, it just never ends.
Right.
Constant. But look at this. On a lighter note, the news is reporting, Drudge Report, Nick Fuentes, big sex symbol with liberal women now, which I do see. They really like you, Nick.
I don't know.
Which shows how radical everything has gotten, and how, you know, I love the deputy AG attacking me and calling me radical and saying we shouldn't protect a radical. I was persecuted by the DOJ. The public's awake. So the idea that, oh, he's a radical, he's fringe, so we don't protect him. Don't they get that the establishment is now on the outside? Don't they get what's happening? I don't think Todd Blanche in his little bubble understands that.
No. Well, I think 80% of Americans agree with you. I mean, Joe Rogan's one of the most popular guys in the world. He agrees with you. It's like all the biggest podcasters, guys like Theo Von, Tim Dillon, it's like the culture has shifted. I don't know.
Let's just say they've all become me, and which is not a bad thing. But you tune in their shows, it's the Alex Jones show.
100%, yeah.
So that's kind of the ultimate victory.
Yes. Yeah, and that's
true.
And
now you've got all the liberal women throwing their panties at you.
Yeah.
I mean, I see it online, so.
Yeah, that's a strange turn of events.
See, they're sick of cut men. They like the fact that you're saying what you really think.
I'm a bad boy, yeah. They like the jean jacket. They like that I'm a bad boy. They say they like that I'm a little aggressive. But the article says, no, they don't really like me. It says that, you know, they see me as like a character and like a fandom. They see me as like a character and like a TV show. They're shipping me with Candace Owens. They're shipping me with other people, people that I've done collaborations with before. And I don't know how to I've never gotten that much female attention. My show's for boys. My show's for guys. My show's for men, and now the girls are watching it. I'm like, I don't even know why they like this show so much. It's about politics.
Well, Nick, I know you're a big Catholic and everything, and I'm not trying to get you to be a bad guy, but let me tell you, women are a good thing. So yeah. you need to dip your toe in that a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I'm just worried.
Hey, you want to take yourself to the next level? Get some of the feminine energy on you.
Mm.
It'll only make you more male.
But they're going to set me up. That's what I'm worried about.
No, you can find a good Christian girl from a good family.
I don't think I could trust anybody these days. You know how this goes. Intelligence agencies everywhere. I think I got to go to, like, Ukraine and find one in, like, a village, a blown-up village.
Well, that's a... No, I mean, if you're out in a small town and, like, talking to the farmer, you know, and talking to his older daughter, maybe that's the way to go. Because you are 26. You know, that's a... You can't go wrong. There's a lot of good women out there. There's a lot, okay?
Yeah. I got to get to work. I want to get married maybe before 35, maybe before 30.
Well, I would say it's not that women are better in other countries, except we're more spoiled, and American women are more brainwashed in liberalism. So, yes, it is. It is. But the problem is you bring women over here. I've talked to guys that have married a bunch of them. They get bad real quick hanging out with American women.
Yeah.
They can be hanging out with white women, black women. They get real mentally ill and spoiled real quick. So it's a problem.
It is.
But listen, instead of getting a dumb woman, I've heard you make jokes, you know, get a really smart one that understands all this and it gets behind. Oh, then that's a powerful thing. You understand?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really want to hear the political opinions from my wife. You know,
I don't know. I like getting a female perspective on things. I'm telling you.
I just want her to make me snacks. I want her to make me snacks while I'm doing my show. Mozzarella
so
sticks.
So funny, man. Oh, my goodness. You can get women to do a lot more than that for you.
Well, that's true.
I'm not talking about sex. I mean, women are good to have around.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why the enemy attacked, you know, the globalists attacked them with all their brainwashing first.
Right.
Because first you get the women, then you got the children, so follow the men.
That's right. That's right.
Almost. So they're being targeted because they're the core of the family.
Yeah.
If you take them down, you get it all.
You're right. Yeah. And I don't hate women. I love women, but you're so right. It's like in America, they kind of became the tip of the spear because the left brainwashed them and now they're wielded against the men.
Yeah, and they think they're exactly. We got to be right. Well, what does your mother think of your views?
Oh, she's always giving me a hard time. She goes, Nicholas, I'm your mother, and I don't like the way you talk about women. I'm like, Mom, you know, the show's for guys. This is how guys talk, you know, locker room talk. But she loves the show. She just thinks I'm a little harsh on women sometimes, and the super chatters, too.
You know, the guys that have a lot of experience with women, we don't talk bad about them. We just laugh.
That's right. That's a Chad. See, you're a Chad.
There's a serious entertainment value.
Yeah.
But you got to, like my dad told me, you got to treat women like they're about 5 years old.
Nah.
Yeah. And it's not that they're stupid. They want to be treated like that. But the thing is, they're super smart when you click them into that mindset. They can get you a lot of information. Women are very special.
They're very good with EQ, very good emotional intelligence, very good emotional quotient. And you're right. There is a female genius, a feminine genius. The Pope said this. There's a feminine genius. It's different than the male genius, which is more about math and the universe and things like that. But there is a feminine genius. I'm a big
fan. Definitely kissing women's ass and being scared of them ruins them.
Yes.
So they definitely don't want that. But then they go to the other extreme where they got some Muslim, you know, putting cigarettes out on them. We want to treat women good. Women are amazing. Some women have the alpha leadership thing. It's just that in general, they're not looking for it. But then they're told you've got to do this. Then they become like prostitutes of the government. The government's their pimp. So what women have to understand is, and men too, everybody's got to have a family, an organization. So you're either with a family, with a man and kids and the real deal. It's not going to be perfect. Or you're in some weird fake facsimile that's meant to destroy you.
That's a really good salient point. It's true. And you got to be the patriarch of the family. We got to bring back the patriarchs, the male leadership.
100%. There's got to be a captain of the ship.
Yes.
And the truth is, none of these women that go out and get these diminutive men that serve them, they always leave them. They always, because it's not what they, biologically, they're not looking for it.
Right.
And you got to go with the biology. Look at this deployment of Latinas. That guy's actually my boss. He's in the call up during the break. What do you got Nick Fuentes on? In fact, I just got a call. I got to end this. They told me to get you off right now.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, they'll say that's real. You got to go catch an airplane. You got to leave right now, don't you?
That's right. I do. Yeah.
Nick J. Fuentes on Rumble. Great talking to you. Sex symbol with the liberal women.
Yeah, I guess you're passing the torch. You're the sex symbol from the other generation.
I don't know what I'm saying. I'm a sex symbol.
No, you're being modest.
No. Nope, I'm a virgin. All right, we got Nick. Hey, have a good trip. Be safe. And I heard you're going to be going up to be going to somebody's big show soon.
Potentially, yeah. You've been talking about that on Twitter. But, yeah, we'll
I didn't say it. I just said look for it.
Yes.
All right, Nick. Take care, buddy. Thanks for being here.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes! Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, that was a total information awareness overload. And I am going to come back. I got huge guests I haven't even gotten to yet coming up today. We just had Mitch McConnell collapse. Our story's up on Drudge right now. We have gold shooting up towards 5,000. We've got cartels officially issuing $50,000 bounties, assassination of U.S. immigration officials. It is all coming up. The first thing I want to play in this brief segment is even on CNN, their own Harry Enten is warning Dems chance for taking the House 2016 has plummeted. I've seen all the numbers. That is dead on. They have internal polls. They've got all sorts of other sampling systems. We have the top pollsters on. The morning show had the top pollster from Rasmussen on. They are in free fall. And I mean way below their lowest level ever. I mean, it is. They're done. And that's why they're so dangerous and are getting ready to blow a bunch of stuff up and blame us. So here's that breakdown. We'll come back with all the news.
Okay, so, you know, if you go back 6 months ago, you go back to April, Kate Baldwin, what were we looking at? Well, we were looking at the Democrats with a very clear shot of taking control of the U.S. House of Representatives, according to the Kalshi prediction market odds. We saw them in an 83% chance. But those odds have gone plummeting down. Now we're talking about just a 63% chance, while the GOP's chances up like a rocket, up like gold, up from 17% to now a 37% chance. So we'll look like a pretty clear likely Democratic win in the House come next year has become much closer to a toss-up at this point, although still slightly leaning Democratic.
What's changed? What do you think?
Okay, what has changed? Well, why don't we just take a look at the national picture first? Take a look at voters and how they're feeling about things, and we can take a look at the generic congressional ballot, and I want to take a look and compare it to 2017, 2018, right? Because that's sort of the baseline. That was, of course, the first Trump term. That was where Democrats were sort of keeping pace. You go back to April, look at the generic congressional ballot. What'd you see? You see plus three Democrats in 2025 in April. You see plus three Democrats back in April of 2017. Now jump over to this side of the screen. What happens? Well, the Democrats are no longer keeping pace with the pace that they were setting back in 2017, 2018. You look back in 2017, you saw that the Democrats had leaped up to an 8-point advantage. I remember covering this. I remember a lot of folks, including myself, saying, you know what, Republicans look pretty decent right now in terms of the fact that they had the House, they had the Senate, they had the presidency, but things were likely going to flip. And I was looking for the same signs this year. The bottom line is it hasn't happened, Kate Baldwin. It hasn't happened. Democrats have stayed basically steady. They have fallen off the pace. Democrats were way out ahead back in 2017 on the generic congressional ballot. And now we're basically looking at Democrats ahead. But again, they are so far in back of the pace that they set back there. And so I think what a lot of folks are seeing, folks like myself are saying, wait a minute, given what we might be seeing in redistricting, is this plus three going to be enough, Kate Baldwin?
Well, that's what I was going to ask. One change from that cycle is also this mid-decade redistricting effort that we've been covering so much. Add that in, and what do you get?
Okay, so we add that, and we take a look at the national picture, but then we, of course, taking a look at the state legislators, right? They are potentially changing things, and there are two things that are going on here. First off, net mid-decade redistricting gains. If both sides max out at this point, there are more Republican gains possible than Democratic gains. Yes, the Democrats might try to counter a Texas and a California, but you go along in the different states, and basically Democrats run out of room where Republicans are able to gain and gain and gain. If both sides max out, we're probably looking at a GOP gain of plus seven House seats. That doesn't even take into account the potential gutting of the VRA that is right now going to be in front of the Supreme Court. Right. If you add that in, you
voting
could be
the
looking...
Voting Rights Act.
What? Yes,
voting
exactly right. The Voting Rights Act. If you add that in, then you could be looking about adding 10, 12, 15, 17 on top of this seven seats. So I think a lot of folks like myself are looking at this. We're seeing, hey, wait a minute. Those national polls are, Democrats are not gaining the way that we expected. Then you add in the fact that the state legislators are adding potentially more GOP seats like they've already done down in Texas, like they've done in Missouri. And then you add in the potential gutting of the VRA, and all of a sudden it becomes much more difficult for Democrats to gain, especially given that they are not keeping up with their 2017, 2018 pace.
And as you said, that also makes it difficult to compare it to past examples in history because this is such a different new landscape that we're looking at.
It's a different new landscape, and we're not quite sure how much Democrats will have to be ahead in the National House vote in order to gain control.
All right. Thank you, Harry.
Thank you.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut? Because you showed up.
Is that the way to talk?
You showed up. You voted.
You can extend it right now.
A permanent extension of massive tax breaks. Is that right?
90% of Americans take the standard deduction.
Is that right?
If you had your way, the standard deduction would have been cut in half. That would have been a massive tax increase on Americans.
Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic Party, and the rest of the deep state want you and I to shut up. We're not going to shut up. That's why on top of the giant sale we've got going, Veterans of the InfoWar right now, you get an additional 10% off at checkout at thealexshowstore.com with promo code Hakeem. Because no, Hakeem, we're not going to shut up. And when Americans and others back InfoWars and this operation and what we're doing, they are literally defending the tip of the spear. This is the media operation the globalists and the left hate the most. We can't do this without your support. So please help keep us on the air and really say no to Hakeem Jeffries and the rest of these people by going to thealexshowstore.com for the best supplements, wide selection of Patriot apparel, and here, promo code Hakeem to get 10% off right now.
I was summoned from Montgomery. I had my guitar on my back. When a stranger stopped beside me in an antique Cadillac. He was dressed like 1950, half drunk and hollow-eyed. He said, it's a long walk to Nashville, would you like to ride?
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
I sat down in the front seat, he turned on the radio, and them sad old songs coming out of them speakers was solid country gold. Then I noticed the stranger was ghost white pale when he asked me for a light, and I knew there was something strange about this ride. He said, Drifter, can you make folks cry when you play and sing? Have you paid your dues? Can you moan the blues? Can you bend them guitar strings? He said, boy, can you make folks feel what you feel inside? Cause if you
all right, get ready,
down, let me warn you, it's
because this hour we are going to just blast through so much important news and information. We have Frank Wright, who is a really informed, I'd say top expert on the whole surrogate system. It's a $200 million a year industry worldwide, and where they allow convicted pedophiles to go pay women to have babies for them. This is a big deal. It's bigger than the transgender cult. It's not getting any attention. And I'm not mad at people that go out and reasonably can't have a kid and, you know, get their own eggs and sperm, and a woman gets paid and you have a kid. But the point is it's got a dark side. We're going to spend the third hour today on that dark side. The fourth hour, we're going to take your calls. So that's coming up. Now, there's no way to pick which of these stories is the top story in the order. By the way, I shot a report this morning with Rob Dua. He probably put it in the computer on the Walgreens stuff. Oh, wait till you see this. The Grim Reaper's involved, so just get ready for this. That's coming up, too. And then also, I didn't get a lot of criticism, but I got some criticism of the deputy AG, Todd Blanche, when I said he killed investigations into all the bad stuff that was done to me. And I actually went back and read what he said in a bunch of newspapers about me. And then, by the way, guys, you gave me the articles yesterday. Thomas did, I think. And I put them in yesterday's stack, so that's in there. But just give me all the stuff about him throwing the book at people that exposed election fraud against Trump and his anti-gun control stuff. I mean, we got to start focusing on this guy, not because he burned me, but because of who he is. I mean, this is Bill Barr 2.0. And I can tell you, Trump's starting to figure that out. But there's a lot of ass-kissers in the administration and people that are scared of him, because he's a guy that decides who to indict and who not to. Well, whatever. It's a man's game. Do whatever you're going to do, buddy. But he's like, Jones is a fringe person. We don't need to help him. Well, you say I'm fringe. I'm the mainstream. But even if I was the fringe, we protect all American civil rights in America, don't we? So Thomas got me, I already knew the stuff about him, but Thomas was like, you know all this, right? I'm like, yeah, I did. But it's bad. You know the different Republicans that caught the election fraud and blew the whistle they threw in prison? In high security prisons? Well, some of the Trump administration were getting to move to minimum security. Todd Blanche had him kept in high security. Oh, but he got Ghislaine Maxwell moved to the nicest federal prison in America, in Texas. So this guy's bad. And the only reason we started getting some indictments is because Trump threatened to fire a bunch of people that had happened. So I don't expect to be at the head of the line here to have my enemies indicted. And Todd Blanche, it's revenge for Alex Jones. It's revenge? I had the Democrats raise $300 million off my name and do show trials and say I did all the stuff I never did and have me defaulted where judges found me guilty. And now they've done it to Mike Lindell. You just going to sit there and let this crap go on? I'd be covering this if it happened to somebody else all day long, and I do. Now, I'm a big boy. I don't go home and cry at night. I'm ready to be indicted. I'm ready to be killed. I'm committed. There's nothing feels better in life than being committed. But I'll also not sit here while a bunch of white shoe liberal Democrat lawyers fuck America in the ass in front of us on national television. I'm done. Now, we got Mitch McConnell that's emblematic of the dying Republican establishment collapsing on his face. Kelly McGreen's report for InfoWars.com has gone mega viral. I'm going to get to that in a moment and all those stories. But let's just do this now. Walgreens and we now learn CVS have a new promotion. Grim Reapers telling you take your flu shot and your COVID shot. Do you think it was lost on them what they were doing? It was almost, you know, like 2% uptake on COVID, maybe 10% on the flu shot. It used to be like 60% uptake. Americans know the truth now. And so, why do they do this type of stuff? Is it a sick joke? Or are they that brain dead? Because I've been in CVS and Walgreens, and I've never seen Grim Reapers advertising flu shots. That's a in fact, I've gone out. I just remembered this. God, it got to be 20 years ago. We got to find that. I've gone out dressed like the Grim Reaper at CVS, I think in Walgreens, saying, take your flu shots. I have dressed like the Grim Reaper repeatedly. I just remembered this and gone and stood out on the sidewalk because, you know, they have security. Don't stand in the parking lot. Get on the street, you know. And I'm out in the street with my sign, Grim Reaper, take your shots. I just remembered that. I mean, you couldn't do a better job. Oh, my God. Those that the gods would destroy, they first make mad. Here's the report. Well, the marketing department of Walgreens, and now we learn CVS, either have very sick sense of humors, extremely dark satire as Halloween approaches, or they're dumber than a box of rocks. And we did see Anheuser-Busch think sending a super creepy trans man as their spokesperson to sell beer to sports fans was a good idea. So maybe they really are just as stupid. But you've got Skeleton saying, get your flu shot. Skeleton saying, you know, get your COVID shot. And even better, we've got Grim Reapers saying, flu shots here. Isn't that nice? And they've even got a little baby Grim Reaper right next to the big daddy or mommy Grim Reaper. And of course, Fauci's name in Italian means the sickle or the reaper. So maybe we should have some little Fauci Grim Reapers put out front as well. And of course, the flu shot in its entire history has never worked. They never picked the right mutation. All the studies are clear. It destroys your immune system. It's full of SV40 cancer viruses and more. But the COVID shots, why, they're even worse. They make your body mass produce the HIV spike protein that precisely cuts off your DNA replication point to heal yourself of cancer and shuts off white blood cells. No, when the FDA said we approved it not knowing what it would do, it had actually been tested secretly. They knew it was done with precision for depopulation. So maybe Walgreens and CVS don't know that this is a sick joke and they're just fools. But the globalist depopulation death cult with Bill Gates at its head know exactly what they're doing, and it's all about depopulation. The COVID shots attack your fertility, your immune system, your cardiovascular system, your cancer repair systems, your white blood cells, and when your white blood cells collapse, well, you know what you get. You get cancer. So regardless, this is blown up in their face in a spectacular way. This is the Bud Light moment for these big two pharmacy chains. And remember, it was Walgreens and CVS that got over $2 billion secretly during the pandemic to not prescribe ivermectin and other things they knew were cures or very serious treatments for COVID, while the elites themselves were gobbling it up. I've interviewed their attending physicians. So that's the reality, ladies and gentlemen. And in this case, the cover of the book does fit what's inside. Grim Reaper wants you to take a flu shot. And that report's now on X. We want to share it. Yeah, I mean, here's some more of these images. A skeleton, free flu shots, and COVID-19 vaccines. I mean, look at this right here. Oh, my goodness. I guess truth in advertising. Get your flu shot today and join us. Don't fear the reaper. Get your flu shot. Wow. Yeah, like on bug poison, they got a skull and crossbones. Look at this. Same day vaccinations. Chickenpox, hepatitis A. Hepatitis AB, hepatitis B, HPV, meningitis, MMR, pertussis, RSV, shingles, tetanus, whooping cough. Yay, yay, yay. It's time to go away. Woo, walk-ins available, baby. Your express elevator to hell, 6 feet under, pushing daisies. Yeah, it's fun. A lot of those medical workers doing those dances during COVID, they're dead now, too. Join them. Join them and give your baby shots. They can join you, too. It's so much fun. Hip, hip, hooray. Get your flu shot today. Join the pharmacist in death. It's so much fun. It's so liberal. But, you know, there's another Grim Reaper, and that's Mitch McConnell. I mean, he's been a vegetable for a long time, him and his Chi-Com wife. Her sister didn't do too well being a Chi-Com agent. How's she doing? I don't know. A little problem in Texas. Breaking, GOP Senator Mitch McConnell falls on camera in latest medical episode. And there's a whole bunch of members of Congress, House and Senate, that are the same thing. Who's really voting? It's kind of like Biden in the auto pen. Well, now we have the chief of staff coming out saying, oh, it was Obama with Hillary in a committee. Nothing Biden did was legal. Yeah, well, where's the indictments on that? Well, I'm sure Todd Blanche has got something to say. You know, Alex Jones is a fringe extremist. We don't want to protect him. We can violate his rights. I mean, he's a bad person. Like Stephanopoulos asked The Onion, backed by Bloomberg, well, you didn't get the biggest bid. Well, he's Alex Jones. And Todd Blanche, well, it's Alex Jones. I mean, he doesn't get rights. I mean, he's about, oh, you're the same people that said Trump's a deplorable. He's an extremist. Breaking, GOP Senator Mitch McConnell falls on camera in latest medical episode. It's up on Infowars.com, linked on Drudge. Here's the video.
Kidnapping them?
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put their New World Order back together again. So there's Todd Blanche's establishment, you know, and then you got the fringe over here. You got the weirdos that don't believe the corporate media. You got the weirdos that believe in capitalism and the family. You got the weirdos that don't want to have millions of deaths from fentanyl. Calling us Nazis, calling us weirdos, doesn't just not work. It Streisand affects everything. Now, I never give up. And they want the name InfoWars and all the rest of it, and they're clear to do it now. Receiver was here last week. They can come here tomorrow. I won't resist them. Okay, got court orders. Probably the next month, they've told us. But we're going to work with them. We're friendly. Okay, great. Because we're going after it all legally and everything else. We've got lots of little goodies. But because you hear about what got killed the investigation, that was just 1/6 of the investigation. And it's when Todd Blanche learned about what we have that he killed it to protect his Democrat Party bosses. Not just the DOJ funding the operations, but a lot more. And so I don't pull punches. I don't take dives. I fight to the end. But what do you think happens in a couple weeks or whenever it is when they shut the doors here? It's the Alex Jones Network, and they attack that, but I don't own it, so they can't shut it down. What do you think happens there? Well, all of the standing we have, it's already very intense and very strong, gets incredibly strong in the violations of my civil rights. And then you got the deputy AG saying, oh, heck, let me just hit this now. You got him saying, well, Alex Jones is fringe. I mean, we don't want to protect his rights. Well, okay, well, what isn't fringe? Oh, the Democrats, Bill Gates, that are being protected by Todd Blanche killing the investigation, which we have from whistleblowers and others. Trump's not involved, but Trump got convinced by Todd Blanche to kill the Epstein investigation. Then Trump gets the blame. All this stuff, fake stuff, gets leaked. Wonder who's doing that. I bet you $1 trillion that Todd Blanche is taking orders from Bill Barr, because he's the real quarterback of this. And it came out that Barr, while he was the AG, was working against Trump the whole time. So continuing here, let's just look at some of the things he's done. And, you know, I love Patrick Ben-David and the rest of them, but I see their videos. And Patrick Ben-David was like, well, he was found guilty, so, you know, the Supreme Court, but I think it's a little harsh. Judges found me guilty and had show trials. That's why this is a big deal. Can I just get people to understand that? And they just did it to Mike Lindell? This is a big deal. But look at this. DOJ leader chewed out MAGA operative over crusade to get revenge for Alex Jones. And the Democrat lawyers go, yeah, he's harassing us again. No, you don't want settlements. You don't want money. You say you want me off the air, the Democrats. Then I simply have the DOJ looking at how the previous DOJ ran this illegally, and you call that me harassing you when you harass me and raise money off me. Then you read it. Just one day after the letter, the Justice Department retracted it, and the Times report was a result of Blanche stepping in. A ticked off Mr. Blanche, what a hero, asked Mr. Martin, why pick a pointless fight that would embarrass the administration on behalf of a fringe activist? He demanded that Mr. Martin rescind the letter, according to three people briefed on the phone call. See, so he's leaking all this to talk crap. While Blanche has largely worked to execute Trump's will, this is not the only time he has put his foot down on MAGA operatives' most egregious ideas. Earlier this month, it was Blanche who also stopped a convoluted plan to get a notorious Colorado election conspiracy theorist who showed the fraud transferred from a state prison to a low-security federal prison, though false claims she was needed as a witness in a federal case. This has triggered a revolt in some MAGA activists, oh yeah, right, against Blanche, some calling him a traitor and demanding his removal. So the specialty, and he targets Second Amendment people, he doesn't want the J6ers released. This is a real piece of work here. So it just goes on and on. So this is just done over and over and over again. Oh, Tina Peters. Oh, my God, you're so evil. Trump's talking about how she's a hero. Todd Blanche behind the scenes, put her under the dungeon. All these Second Amendment court rulings, Blanche is in there trying to block their implementation. And he's a long-term Democrat, Southern District of New York operative. This is what you get. And it's Trump again. Why doesn't Trump just bring back Bill Barr? Hell, why doesn't Trump just bring Jim Comey back? I mean, she's dead, but I guess if Trump could, who's the AG that was over the Waco massacre? What's her name? It doesn't matter anymore. It really doesn't matter anymore, does it? What is the name? I have to have this now. What is the name of Clinton's first attorney general? Hell, why not bring back Eric Holder? Janet Reno. In the spirit of Todd Blanche, we ought to have Janet Reno as the deputy AG. Because Pam Bondi just does TV. She's not a bad person, from all my sources. But Todd Blanche, this big, hardcore, Southern District of New York, Democrat thoroughbred, why don't we just have, hey, you know what? I nominate Hillary Clinton. And I'm dead serious. I think Trump should replace Todd Blanche with Hillary Clinton. Because if Trump's agenda is to destroy America and make sure he gets put in prison when he's out of office and to put all his supporters in prison and destroy America, well, then why have half measures with Todd Blanche? I nominate Hillary Rodham Clinton to be the new deputy AG. In the spirit of Todd Blanche, let's get the job done. And let's remove Pam Bondi. And let's bring in Eric Holder. I'm serious. I think Trump should fire Pam Bondi and Todd Blanche, and I think he should bring in Hillary Clinton to be the Attorney General and Eric Holder to be the Deputy Attorney General. I am dead serious. In fact, that's not enough. Obama's a lawyer. I think Trump should step down and appoint Obama as the new president. I'm serious. That's not enough. Because they're out of office right now. Constitutionally, though, Trump could push and say, I don't want the vice president, I want the Speaker of the House, I want the leader of the Senate. I believe President Trump should step down right now. And that Chuckie Schumer should be made the president of the United States of America. And I believe that the vice president should be Ilhan Omar. I am dead serious in the spirit of Todd Blanche. Let's just go all the way. And I think Anthony Fauci should be brought back to be the head of HHS. I think Maduro should be made the head of Homeland Security. I think the Speaker of the House should be Benjamin Netanyahu. And the leader of the Senate should be Bill Gates. In fact, that's even better. How about we just make Bill Gates the president? And we all just take a shot, and we all go to bed, and we don't wake up, and it's everything's okay. President Trump needs to resign right now. We need Chuckie Schumer. I'm serious. I'm serious right now. We are the fringe. We're the bad people. I agree we should call our sons' penises off. I agree with Todd Blanche. I apologize. Hell, Satan. We're right back.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
Oh,
because you showed
up. Is that the way to
talk? You showed up. You voted.
You can extend it right now.
A permanent extension of massive tax breaks. Is that right?
90% of Americans take the standard deduction.
Is that right?
If you had your way, the standard deduction would have been cut in half. That would have been a massive tax increase on Americans.
Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic Party, and the rest of the deep state want you and I to shut up. We're not going to shut up. That's why on top of the giant sale we've got going, Veterans of the InfoWar right now, you get an additional 10% off at checkout at thealexshowstore.com with promo code Hakeem. Because no, Hakeem, we're not going to shut up. And when Americans and others back InfoWars and this operation and what we're doing, they are literally defending the tip of the spear. This is the media operation the globalists and the left hate the most. We can't do this without your support. So please help keep us on the air and really say no to Hakeem Jeffries and the rest of these people by going to thealexshowstore.com for the best supplements, wide selection of Patriot apparel, and here, promo code Hakeem to get 10% off right now.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Hey Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sambucus is available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, Sambucus is a fancy word for elderberry. This elderberry concoction is mixed with vitamin C and zinc. It's gummies. They're absolutely delicious. I take two of them every single day as prescribed by the directions on the bottle. Helps with things like healthy stress levels, antioxidant and immune support. It promotes respiratory health, seasonal support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Now, not only with Ultimate Sambucus gummies are you getting a delicious way to fight for your immune system, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that Alex Jones is under relentless attack. We know that InfoWars and this crew are under relentless attack as well. And it's not just us they're coming after. Frankly, it's you. They want to silence you. They want to kill your health. They want to kill your mind. And they want to subjugate you under a new world order government. And so as far as I'm concerned, by going to thealexjonesstore.com and getting Ultimate Sambucus gummies, you are not only fighting for your health, but you're fighting against the new world order in the most effective way possible. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Longing for the sun, you will come.
Than an hour and 33 minutes of broadcast and not plugged one time. So I want to race through all this news. Huge guests coming up. So much more today. But before I do that, the Supreme Court said, hey, we don't care if the DOJ ran operations. We don't care if judges found you guilty illegally. We don't care about any of that. Go ahead and shut you down. Other federal judges, yep, we're shutting down Mike Lindell. We don't need a trial. You're guilty. On and on and on. And I see the left celebrating it. Well, Mike Lindell lied and said elections can be stolen with voting machines. Everyone knows you can't hack one. That's what the judge said. You cannot hack these machines. Really? Judges don't find you guilty. Juries do. Or civilly liable. So this is the desperation of these people. But if we don't recognize the tyranny and stand up for each other, then it normalizes it. And that's their bet, that we'll just accept this. And with people like Todd Blanch in there sabotaging Trump's agenda while he kisses up to him, we got a big problem. I told you Bill Barr was bad. All the Q-tards, oh, no, he's trillion D chess. Now it all came out. He was working against Trump the whole time, helping get him indicted. Same deal. Over and over again. So I don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. That means when they shut this place down, they got a state receiver appointed. It's greenlit by the Supreme Court. The guy was here last Tuesday. He said it should take a month. I don't know if they'll do it quicker. I'm at peace with it. I left it all in the field. We've had a huge effect. I'll continue on no matter whatever happens to me. Only death's going to stop me from speaking out against evil. But how hard I fight is based on your support, your word of mouth, your prayer. I'll never back down, I'll never give in, I'll never sell out, but I could give out. It's real simple. You can have a car that's great and runs wonderful. You don't put gasoline in it. When it runs out of gasoline, it conks out. So Trump always says, they're not trying to get me, they have to get through me to get to you. That's so true. When you support us at thealexjonesstore.com, which they can't shut down and has helped build the new network, they own it, you keep the broadcast on that the bad guys hate above all others because we know what we're talking about. In fact, it shocks me that I know more than all these other talk show hosts combined. I mean, it actually freaks me out. I mean, this stuff's like so obvious. But I guess when you have the native intelligence God gave you, it just seems obvious. Like, to a natural, you're like, well, it's right there. Why do I have to explain this to people? But the point is, they want us off the air, so I'm going to sell you products that really works, so you want to get them over and over again. Remember, they defaulted me in their fake cases saying he would not give us his Sandy Hook marketing because he made money off of it, because they said so. There's no marketing off a story we barely covered. I sell products, I cover news. There's not a connection between the two. And of course, it didn't exist. No. The way I sell products is they're really good and really work. The widest selection of t-shirts and ball caps and hoodies and sweaters, some of the best designs. Notice I don't say all the best. Some people got better than we, but we got some of the best. It's all there. 600, 700 designs. And the very best supplements that are amazing and will do incredible things for your life. Just try it. 80%+ of people that order the supplements reorder. Nobody has numbers like that. So we have the relaunch Alex Jones show. The funding we need to relaunch with all this going on right now. Relaunch Alex Jones Supercell fundraiser. We put a $10 in your Alex Jones store account. Anytime you buy anything, you have a free account as part of the relaunch Alex Jones Super fundraiser. Today only, go to thealexjonesstore.com and use your free $10 on any order. Not just because our merchandise and products are amazing, but because we need your support like America needs free speech. Plus, we have an additional, listen to this, 25% off store-wide on top of $10 at checkout. That's just, a lot of products are lost leaders with that. These sales are crazy, but only people crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who actually do it. We need you to go berserk on the store right now and take advantage of these incredible deals, not just because the products are great, but because we need you to keep us on the air no matter what happens next. And because we know the products really work, we want you to come try it so you'll get hooked, so we build a base of funding to go 24 hours a day and battle the globalists properly. It's real simple. Everything. Stopping globalism. It's absolutely critical to have a commitment out there. And it just comes down to that. Oh, there's billions of different shows and clips and programs. This is the one the bad guys want off the air because we actually study what they do. So go to the site, check it all out. Stop globalism, fight tyranny, save freedom, defeat evil. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Every purchase gets you entered 50X. Oh, I forgot this. This is a thing our sponsor does, and I don't mind it, Great Americana Vehicles and stuff, but I'm not really, that's kind of not my bag. People love the contest or love the sweepstakes. Every purchase gets you entered 50X only at the end of these deals, which is the next 2 days, to win both the red CB Corvette and the Jeep 392 plus $20,000 in cash. Only 2 days left to win both. Today is your last chance to use your free $10 and get 500 entries free plus 25% off on top of it. Store-wide. All right. I got a bunch of clips I want to play here and analyze that illustrate what we're dealing with and what we're covering right now. This, of course, has gone totally viral. Last Friday, you had Hakeem Jeffries being confronted with the Democrats doing the shutdown. That's the fact. And the fact that the tax cuts are 90% focused on working class, blue collar, middle class. So he blows up and says, just shut up. Well, a reporter for Lindell TV, she starts asking Pelosi, who's dressed up in a leprechaun outfit, about it, and she completely melts down. Then juxtapose that with John Fetterman, who understands Pennsylvania is totally red. He knows which way to go. Brings the Kennedy Center to complete silence as he delivers the emotional message on stage. Let's play these two back to back.
Congresswoman Pelosi, are you at all concerned that the new January 6th committee will find you liable for that day? Are you at all concerned about the new January 6th committee finding you liable for that day? Why did you refuse the National Guard on January 6th?
Shut up. I did not refuse the National Guard. The president didn't send it. Why are you coming here with Republican talking points as if you're a serious journalist?
The American people want to know. We still have questions. Thank you.
I'm the only Democrat in my family. I grew up in a conservative part of Pennsylvania, and now I grew up and I know and I love people that voted for President Trump. But they are not fascists. They're not Nazis. They're not trying to destroy the Constitution and those things. And that's part of another thing. I refuse to call people Nazis or fascists, or I would never compare anybody to Hitler and those things. And now that kinds of extreme rhetoric is going to continue. We're going to be more likely in resulting in extreme kind of outcomes and political violence and doing all these kinds of things like Charlie Kirk. For me, all I could say is like, let people grieve. give people the space. I'm not going to use that terrible thing and that Pasek assassination to make my argument and try to put out my views. It's like, my God, you know, he's a father that had his neck blown out by a bullet. And now people have forgotten. President Trump was in my state, was shot in the head. And if that would have, could you imagine where our nation would be if he was hit in the same way with Kirk? We really got to turn the temperature down. And we can agree to disagree on these kinds of things. But right now, shutting down the government, I just can't take it that.
2 months before Trump got shot in Butler, I had Ivan Raiklin, Green Beret, Defense Intelligence Agency lawyer on. And we said, we don't want Trump to be killed, but the worst thing for the globalists will be to kill him, so don't do it. The media spun it. Oh, they want Trump dead. No, we said, it's the worst thing for you to do. It's like the FBI when somebody's got hostages, you know, in a bank or something on a bullhorn saying, the worst thing you can do is kill the hostages. We're going to come in and kill you immediately. Don't do it. It's not kill the hostages. It's like the dumbest thing you can do is that. Like, could they not war game if they'd have blown Trump's head off? They could. They wanted a civil war. They think somehow they're going to come out on top of it because they have the corporate media. No, you're not. And you weren't going to win then. Now we have lapped you in the truth and in information. Like the last thing you guys want is a civil war. The last things you want is just to go violent. If you were smart, you'd act like you were conservatives, kind of hide, play along, let us fix the country, and still be part of the success. But you have an existential hard-on to rape the country. You're dirtbags, so you're not going to stop. I get that part. But be like Fetterman. I thought he was retarded, but I've learned more with family having strokes and stuff. Like, no, he was just had a stroke and couldn't talk. They finally got him on medications and surgeries, and his brain came back. And he's like, yeah, let's not burn the country down and have a civil war. Not a good idea. It's not going to work out. He told Joe Rogan, and I talk to people that actually know his son. It was his son came to him about a year ago and said, Dad, I'm embarrassed of what you're doing. You got to turn against these people. He was coming out of his convalescence and the rest of it, and he understands it. So we need more people like Senator John Fetterman who have self-preservation instincts. Because I know I do. I mean, I'm not afraid to die and afraid of civil war, but if I can live a long time and not have a civil war, I'd sure like that. I'd sure rather go eat a steak tonight and watch a sunset and have all the traffic lights work and be able to go to the doctor if I need to and, you know, have a future. I mean, you know, I mean, but you got all these people that have been in power so long, they don't understand. You're not the establishment anymore. You want to call us fringe? You're the fringe. I mean, look at what we promote, just common sense, basic decency. I mean, we're not reinventing the wheel here, folks. It's the left trying to reinvent the wheel. We don't want to cut our sons' dicks off. We don't want to start a nuclear war with the Russians. We're not going to put up with fentanyl out of Venezuela either. I mean, we're just like, look at the issue here. So, you compare Pelosi and Hakeem Jeffries. All they got now is shut up. Well, that's what their censorship was shut up. Because they can't debate us. They can't win an argument with us. So their answer is, well, shut us up. Well, guess what? Did killing Charlie Kirk make it any better for you? Did all your censorships and attacks? I mean, you were scared of Alex Jones. They even said a decade ago, God, if this spreads, it's over for us. Did it spread? Were you successful taking me off the national stage and making my ideas extinct? No, you made them ascendant. You made them dominant. Have you tuned into any of the main comics or podcasters in the last couple of years? It's like a recording of my show, but put out in their style. That's called dominance. That's called leadership. And so you think you'll throw a temper tantrum and be mean to me and my family, and that somehow that'll intimidate people and somehow make me shut up? I'm not made of the same stuff as you. Some little piggies build their houses out of straw, some out of sticks, some out of stone. and some out of iron and steel. You build yours out of diarrhea. So you can stack your cesspit of stinking filth up against my steel, and we'll see who wins. But what you haven't figured out yet is the journey is the destination for me. I like all of this. And as soon as people get that spirit, it's game over for you. All of my tribulations have been my greatest pleasures. All of my pain has been my greatest victories. All of my defeats have been my greatest teaching experiences. And that's not rhetoric. I have experienced it. I've been given blessings that few people ever get to have. And all the blessings were being kicked in the face, hung out to dry, lied about, persecuted. But because I knew it's all part of God's plan, every time I go through pain, the pleasure on the other side is so amazing. But I can't be reckless. I fight as hard as I can. I fight not to lose. I fight each one of their attacks as if my life depends on it. And then when I've left it all on the field, on the other side, it's like a sailing ship with no wind. You can have a captain and a crew ready to go and ready to carry out their mission. But if there's no wind, the ship is becalmed. It goes nowhere. But every time I go through the storm, as it breaks out into the sunlight, out of the storm, and the ship is racing at maximum speed and the sails are perfectly filled, I sit back at that moment and then I see the next storm. And I don't sit there with pride and say, I just navigated this storm. I just made it past the Hydra. I just made it past all of these attacks. No, I say, God just took me through the storm again. And if this next storm, I am to be destroyed in front of everyone as an example to others, which empowers people, actually, when you do it strong and do it right. I think destroying people like makes people run off. And you don't know about the Alamo or anything else, do you? El Cid, any of it. And I go in with the acceleration like I'm going down a roller coaster. Like, thank you, God, for this adventure. Wow, thanks for putting me in a position to experience this and to be this vessel. As I plunge headlong into the fulcrum, into the new attack and the new system and the new enemies. God just says, fight, be truthful, stand up for what you know is correct, and trust in me. And the completion in that, the satisfaction in that, is the most exhilarating, fulfilling thing times 1,000 I can imagine. To literally be an instrument of God, though imperfect, is the greatest dream of any man or woman you should ever have. People ask me, what's your goal? What do you stand for? What do you want? I want to be an instrument of God. What's your plan? Whatever God tells me. What makes you tick? Oh, God, you're so great. How do you keep doing this? How do I keep doing this? I'm like a pig up to my eyeballs in shit here. I want to be in the fight. Like John Paul Jones said, I only want the fastest ships, and I want to go directly into war. I don't want to be doing some supply convoy in the middle of nowhere. I want to be sent in. Because that's where you find God. That's when you really, really find out who you are. That's why I feel sorry for people that serve Satan. They have no idea what they're missing. It is a blessing to be persecuted by the world, as Christ said. Because if you're with God, you're going to be attacked by the world. If you're being given some bed of roses and everything laid out before you by the system, you're of the devil. But you have to go deeper. It doesn't mean you don't have great success. The world attacks you. But every time at the last second, God reaches down and saves you. And then each time you're built up stronger. And then there comes a time in God's plan where you're destroyed. What a blessing, called home to the Lord. But a true and faithful servant carries out the mission. And that's the archetype from all the great legends and the archetypes of history with Obi-Wan Kenobi. When he knows it's time, when he just smiles and lets Darth Vader thinks he kills him, because that was the real triumphant success. And he tells him, you can't win. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine. But evil can't help it. It's got to make the move one-dimensional. It doesn't think second, third, fourth order. It's not hype for me putting a good face on this, that we have triumphant over the enemy, just in our own little microcosm here in InfoWars. The evidence is there. You know it. And there's struggles, and there's energy has to be put in, and it's not fun at some point. But it's like working out is not fun until you get good at it and get in it, and now you want to do it. It's like pushing back against evil is what we're designed to do. We don't become who we are until we engage it. You're not meant to just play golf and polish your Porsche all day and, you know, hang out with your buddies and glad hand each other. Nothing has any value at that point. And we've gotten to this point because men and women think the world is just a carnival, a mindless searching out of pleasure. The greatest pleasure is in perseverance. The greatest pleasure is in building civilization and being an example to others. The greatest pleasure is creating systems that are timeless that will launch our species into the stars and beyond. Not just thinking about yourself in the moment and some mindless sensation, but tying into something greater and something bigger that's eternal. In the third dimension, as a gantry, as a launch pad into infinity. Oh, I've seen the mountain Martin Luther King talked about. And I hope you can see it too. But that's why the devil works around the clock, so you never see it. You're not there yet, but if you ever could see it, the devil would no longer have any hold on you because you would have transcended. You'd still be in the world, but not of it. And it doesn't mean you don't know the world or get tempted by it, but you know the secret of it. You know the end of it. You know the cheat codes to it. And you know that you're on the team that God created and that you're blessed enough that you escaped the test. This, everything's a test. Everything's an experiment. In our personal lives, in business, in science, and as above, so below. Everything is repeated. All our customs, all our systems, all our universal ideas come from God. Except the distortion of God's plan, which we call sin. Which is simply viruses in the computer that would destroy our true destiny. All right, we got a big guest on coming up on surrogacy. You think you know about it. Wait till you hear this. This is one of the biggest things not getting enough attention coming up. And I got a bunch of other clips as well. Remember, though, you're the Paul Revere's. Without you, the dog don't hunt. Share those live feed now.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Democratic frontrunner Zohran Mamdani is facing growing scrutiny over his campaign finances. According to reports by right-wing media outlets, Mamdani's campaign accepted donations from foreign sources, which would be a direct violation of U.S. election law. The controversy comes just weeks before Election Day and has raised fresh questions about transparency, accountability, and the flow of money into American politics. Now, under U.S. election law, candidates are strictly prohibited from accepting campaign funds from non-U.S. citizens or foreign residents. Yet new findings suggest that Zohran Mamdani's mayoral campaign received nearly $13,000 from foreign donors, including a contribution from his mother-in-law in Dubai.
What happens if Mamdani wins? What happens to $700,000 above asking? Does that go to a million above asking?
It's going to keep going up. I mean, this is a great time to be a seller. That's my pitch today.
Gradually, America's waking up to calls to prayer and the smell of halal incense burning in the shadows of Lady Liberty. The Islamic invasion of America isn't some fever dream cooked up in a Bilderberg back room. It's now live and unfolding right now before your very eyes, block by block, mosque by mosque.
I find that there are only two things which are open to our movements. Ballot or bullet, nothing in between.
I used to say that democracy is haram. Now I say participation in democracy is our jihad. That's our jihad. We're going to fight not through the bullets, but the ballots.
Going to the ballot and voting is now an obligatory action, fard ayn. And it is a jihad that is now needs to be done, because this is our modern jihad. You can elect a person who wants the sharia.
Because in the United States, what we do know is that in the past election, just this last election, there have been over 800 Muslim candidates running for office.
We may end up with about 50 members of Congress in the next 6 years. That's really the essence of dismantling the system of injustice, is to replace it with the people who represent the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Approximately 71% of foreign-born Muslims arrived after 1990, with a significant surge after 2000. Over the last decade, from 2015 to 2025, U.S. immigration data indicates about 6.6 million total foreign-born arrivals since 2018, with Muslims making up a small but growing share, including roughly 3 million Muslim immigrants arriving between 2020 and 2025 amid global displacement, or the United Nations Replacement Migration Plan. Peel back the veil of multiculturalism and you'll see the blueprint laid bare in the unredacted files of the Muslim Brotherhood's explanatory memorandum a 1991 roadmap to settle America through immigration, infiltration, and the slow boil of Sharia supremacy.
We not want to melt into American society and disappear. We want to go into American society with Islamic ideals and revamp their thinking. We want to revamp them.
I am holding in my hand the Muslim Brotherhood Plan for North America, written in 5/22/1991. This is about their explanation on how they're going to take over the West, their 100-year plan to infiltrate and dominate the West and establish an Islamic government on earth. This plan was presented as evidence in the Holy Land Foundation trial, the largest terrorism trial ever in the history of the United States, where our government handed down 108 guilty verdicts to Muslim Americans and Muslim organizations in America, raising money in the United States and sending it overseas to support terrorist activity overseas. And it says, the process of settlement is a civilization jihad process with all the word means. The Ikhwan, which is the Arabic word for brothers, must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and Allah's religion is made victorious over all other religion.
The founding fathers didn't bleed at Bunker Hill for a demi dystopia. Their numbers are small and will remain small for at least another decade. Don't believe their hype. Don't give in to the fear. God bless you and God save the Republic while we still can. John Bowne reporting for.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
The march. The empire is on the run. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
For all of us, we have to resist it. We have to say no to it. We have to stop humans being turned into a mindless commodity. That is what we are witnessing. We'll have our guests with us for the rest of the hour. Have them back again soon. I'm going to give you some breaking news. First, DOJ brings first anti-related terrorism charges in Texas ICE attack. They've shot up multiple ICE facilities. FBI Director Kash Patel calls July 4th incident planned coordinated terror attack. In Governor J.B. Pritzker's Illinois, the illegal alien is working as a sworn police officer with badges, guns, and a pension. He's been arrested. You see these illegal aliens without even a teaching degree being the superintendents of major school districts. This is the total invasion. And Pritzker is threatening everyone. He runs the whole transgender thing with his family. That we're going to start arresting ICE for following the law and doing their job. Meanwhile, Trump announced his plan to meet Putin in Budapest. U.S. and Russian presidents held a lengthy phone call today. U.S. President Donald Trump has announced plans for a summit with his Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin in Budapest, Hungary. The meeting will take place at a date to be determined. High-level advisors. So we'll see where that goes. All right. Let's go to our guest here and talk about this. And look, I want to be clear. There's free will in this country and the world. And a lot of people that can't have a child themselves can go out with their own eggs or sperm and, you know, have a surrogate. You can also go out and adopt children. But it's becoming a dehumanizing effect. It's one of the biggest industries in the world, $200 billion a year, and there's almost no discussion of it. And then I have countless reports, we'll show you, of convicted pedophiles that can't get within 1,000 feet of a school, but they can go pay a woman to have a baby for them. So this is a brave new world that we're dealing with. And we could talk for 10 hours about it, but I want to give our guest, Frank Wright, with leading experts on this, fearless journalist, commentator, dedicated to reporting on the most critical issues facing Western civilization. He's a contributor at LifeSite News, frankwriter.com. Provides in-depth analysis and cuts through the noise in mainstream media. He champions traditional Christian values, national sovereignty, and the preservation of heritage, offering a clear-eyed perspective on the political and social battles of our timeline. You can find him on X at Frank Wrighter. Now, with a W. Now, let's just set the table here. I'm going to try to shove, give him the floor here. But he's got a lot of clips, a lot of videos. He can tell us what to go to. He sent me, like, I like guests to send me some prepared, but my goodness, I can do a whole college course on this stuff. And I know a lot of it. I'm seeing some I don't. I'm like, I'm going to go look this up. Wow, what's this? So, but this is the cutting edge of the brave new world. The artificial wombs, babies that only have male DNA, all of this is to convince you two men could have a baby. Well, if you accept that, you'll now accept humanoids that have human rights and chimeric creatures they already have. Yeah, we're not in Kansas anymore. So, Frank Wright, thanks for being here. Where should we start? It's such a giant subject.
Well, hello there, Mr. Jones, and thank you for having me on to talk about this issue, which I believe if Americans knew more about it, would be stopped tomorrow. It seems like a bold and indeed just a controversialist claim to say it's America's national disgrace and that it promises a future of literal human factory farming. But in fact, the facts are there. So maybe we could start with that, the fact that we've heard a lot about the slippery slope fallacy, and I'm sure you've spoken about that a lot. Well, from the first test tube baby in 1978, there was a Catholic priest that spoke out then, who warned of a future in which American babies would be born in rented wombs. And he was told that it could never happen in America. And that first test tube baby born in Britain would never be done in America. If you fast forward today, IVF surrogacy, and the majority of it is IVF surrogacy, that's to say test tube babies, represent $22 billion in business worldwide, a business dominated by the US, and threatens to become a $200 billion industry by 2034. Why would I say it's America's national disgrace? It's being increasingly banned around the world. Italy, Slovakia, even India has banned the sale of children. And it takes a discredited organization like the United Nations, the depopulationist UN, to come out and state the sale of children is a crime. It's called for the global criminalization of surrogacy because it is, in fact, the sale of children. And as we'll see later on, claims of it being also child trafficking, as well as human trafficking and trafficking surrogate mothers, are not only true, there are cases going on right now in the United States.
Well, looking at it this way, it's not like a poor mother goes to recognize orphanages, has a child, and it goes to parents. That still has some issues. This is like ordering a pizza, and it gets delivered to you, and it literally turns it into a commodity. Would have transatlantic slave trade 500 years ago been okay if they came and paid the mothers for the babies and then loaded them on slave ships? No, it would be the exact same thing.
Well, the problem is that surrogacy is marketed very well. It's got a very soft focused professional image, and it will tell you that it's providing babies to the socially infertile. And you would immediately think that that's just parents who want to have children who can't, and you'll feel sorry for them. If you look into that definition, what it means is men, homosexual and transgender men, homosexual and transgender single men, coupled men, throupled men, in any combination. And the United States is the number one destination worldwide for the sale of children to LGBTQ couples. This fact has contributed to the ballooning of the population of children in LGBTQ families from around 20,000, according to the Williams Institute in the 1990s, to 5 million last year. There are now 5 million children in LGBTQ families in the United States, and they are increasingly supplied by IVF surrogacy.
So this is literally factory farming for children into the death cult.
Yes, it is. And it has a 30-year history in the United States. If you think how it happened, how could it have happened here?
Yeah, that's important. U.S. continues to be the epicenter of evil. So let's start at the beginning.
Well, it's extraordinary to hear this, but there was a case in 1993 that established that the fertilized embryo and the child were in fact the property of the buyer, and that the surrogate mother had no rights whatsoever over her own offspring. From the moment of fertilization, their property. There is no federal law governing surrogacy in the United States. It is practically legal in all but one state, Louisiana. And in most of these states, it's followed that legal precedent in California. So if you enter into a commissioning agreement, which is what they're called, if you try to buy a baby, then you have the rights to that baby from the moment of fertilization. It's your property. Now, very soon after this, in 1995, a man called John Weltman founded Circle Surrogacy. And he was a lawyer, and he was gay, and he was married to a man, so-called gay marriage, permissioned all this. He then set up this surrogacy agency to supply babies to men like himself and his partner. Two more followed in the 1990s. For 30 years, lawyers at the head of LGBTQ surrogacy agencies have gone around the United States and the world seeking legal permission and winning legal cases to give LGBTQ individuals access to children and the legal right to buy them. And they've won it. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen for no reason. It has been pioneered by lawyers. And in another example of the slippery slope, we were told that just let them get married and nothing will happen. Well, if you look at these surrogacy agencies themselves, they tell you that same-sex marriage paved the way to LGBTQ parenthood and LGBTQ IVF surrogacy. It's a direct lie. And where it's leading us is into a near future pioneered by U.S. and Israeli technology, where no women are involved at all.
Now, this is the big point. We all see the AI of artificial wombs and all this, but they actually have this now. I mean, I know they can grow humanoids in cows. I saw that in MIT documents 25 years ago. But let's talk about the next level where women aren't even involved. Now we truly have factory humans.
Well, you might be interested to learn that the artificial womb technology was first experimentally pioneered in the 1970s. If you fast forward to today, you may have seen stories from U.S. researchers where they can grow eggs from male human skin cells. So you can grow human eggs from male DNA. Again, no woman involved. And also, artificial womb technology is coming. Again, developed by U.S. and Israeli scientists in the United States. This technology is permissioned as a help to the premature and so on. And the project is called Extend, if you read the page. I can supply the sources. But what you're told here is that there's been a kind of fake news story where there's a Chinese pregnancy robot that's done the rounds. Now, that is apparently fake news. But there was a note in the medical journal saying that artificial wombs are coming and they are being developed in the United States. And initially we are told they're going to help the premature. But if you look at the precedent of the slippery slope, this technology is going to be used. And it's going to be used, according to a scientist, Israeli scientist working in the United States, to provide cut price surrogacy in future, a near future, which he promises will see women deleted entirely from the process and be much cheaper to buy a baby, because right now it can cost you about $250,000 to buy a baby in the United States. But if you delete women from the picture entirely and move to effectively human factory farming, then it's much cheaper.
Now, what is the mechanism to put major restrictions on this, have vetting or outright outlaw it? Because obviously a couple can't have children. They can go pay a woman, put the fertilized egg in there. Woman makes money. It's free will. You know, there. I don't think it's moral to outlaw that. This is the science we've gotten to a long time ago. But the issue of mass production, taking humans out of the equation, and then literally giving children to, I mean, I think the issue is that there's no relation. And so, but as you're saying, now they're just going to make these humanoids that are made out of the two men's sperm, which they cracked decades ago. So it's not even going to be a human. It's this weird humanoid. I mean, this is just beyond the island of Dr. Moreau.
Well, in addition, the world's first AI-edited baby has also been born. So AI technology has been used to gene edit a baby produced through IVF surrogacy. So these things are already happening. And again, that was predicted by a Catholic priest who first heard of the first test tube baby. And he was, of course, dismissed as a conspiracy theorist, and that it could never happen here. But in fact, this is what things are moving towards. You can see the total commodification of human life. And if you can see the wider context, what it represents is a direct attack on the family.
Well, let's continue.
Because of progress, thanks to progress, we now have to refer to that as the traditional family, don't we? So let's just make that clear for our viewers. The union between a man and woman naturally producing children is supposed to be made redundant entirely, and people will just recreationally couple in future, apparently, according to these technicians of human life. They'll be able to mass produce it at very low cost without any women involved whatsoever.
And then, of course, the corporations can build into these things whoever they want. But, I mean, reading all the literature and what's been done at the embryonic level and beyond, these aren't even really humans where you, like, it's all weird sex-based. Like, two lesbians are going to have a baby that's the two women. Well, that's not how genetics work with X and Y chromosomes and how zygotes form. Or they're now going to make humanoids they have that are from two men. So the even bigger debate is, what the hell are these things?
Well, in addition to that, you'll find that whenever you get these man-made horrors birthed by new technology, you'll find a happy liberal bioethicist come along and tell you that it's fine. And so I found a paper in which one of them said, don't worry, there's no need to have any genetic relation to children whatsoever. You can just produce them and you can love them just the same as if you were indeed their father or mother. So that's okay. So we're breaking the biological link between parenthood and child. We're replacing the family with the potential of human battery farming at a cut price. We're commodifying the art of life, and we are basically turning it into the artificial reproduction of the human species under laboratory conditions.
And let's be clear, the entire transhumanist globalist system is vehemently anti-God, vehemently anti-life, anti-carbon, not just anti-human, and literally wants to end the system that we have that God made. So this is a revolution where the future isn't human, to quote Yuval Noah Harari. So the whole thing is being deployed not as some novelty or some new thing. This is a force-fed takeover.
Well, if you're a religious extremist like me, I'm a traditional Catholic, you believe that human life has an essential value given by God, and it is not to us to play with that or to violate that. So that's an offense to God. But I think one thing that's interesting is that this system, the surrogacy industry, is so evil, it's actually formed what you might call a new moral majority. Feminists, atheists, left-wingers, conservatives, Christians, Catholics, even Catholics are united about this. And it's about the fact that if you can recognize evil, you can see that this is evil. It's not political. It's not a partisan issue. It's not even an issue of religious belief. It is manifestly evil to reduce human life to a consumer product and to delete women entirely. I mean, a lot of the criticism from the left of surrogacy in the past was that it refused to even mention the word woman or mother. They call them gestational carriers instead, which is nice. But that was simply, again, another slippery slope. They first start off by erasing women and mothers in name, and then they're moving with technology towards getting rid of women and mothers completely. Motherless children, potentially with no relation to the people who buy them, or even just a slight one created in a laboratory. This is what the near future promises. It sounds like clickbait. You know, in a time
no,
when
no,
they're
saturated. Listen, sir, I read it all from them. You're right. That's why they're waging war in medical forums all over the Western world. Don't say mother and father when you have a baby. They call a mother the birthing person. This is all preparing the way that if you'll accept that there's no men and women and there's X and Y, you know, X and Y chromosomes, you'll accept all the clones, all the humanoids, all the replicants. I mean, that's what this is. And the big corporations just want to steamroll over people that don't want our human system to be turned into an artificial system. They don't want to just turn seeds for different plants into Terminator seeds where they can never produce more seeds. You've got to buy it again from the factory, genetically engineered. It's not that soybeans is just the test. The target is us.
Well, I think you're quite right. Of course it is. I mean, the complete devaluation of human life, which is what this also represents, is partnered with the IVF business, which is, again, an enormous multi-billion dollar business. But a recent report showed that it kills up to twice as many unborn humans every year as abortion. And that's because it produces many fertilized embryos per customer, if you like. And most of these are destroyed, some frozen, perhaps sold on. And this is the reason why you're now seeing these bioethical articles saying, well, why don't we just sell these fertilized embryos to other people? And one of these articles suggested that a daughter might one day give birth to the fertilized embryo fertilized by her own father. And that there'd be nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah, so they put all that in there. Just pedophilia is at the heart of it. So larger than even that, extending out. Designer babies, all of this, humanoids from two men, two women, they're selling all that. What is the issue there with these things that really aren't human, but we know we're going to have rights ascribed to them? This is a Pandora's box.
Well, the idea is that it's being sold to people as a lifestyle opportunity, and it's always couched in extremely aspirational and liberationist terms. Again, if you look at that term socially infertile, this kind of thing is still technically illegal in certain parts of the world, like in Britain or in Canada and in Australia. But they're trying to reform the laws by saying, oh, look, think of the poor socially infertile people. You wouldn't want to deny them the right to a family, would you? Now, if you look a bit closer at that, the socially infertile people they're referring to are men who dress as women and homosexual men. So what they're really saying to you is, we want to open our market to the enormous LGBTQ surrogacy market, which is a vast market. And as it's been shut down around the world, it's driven that custom into the United States, where it's thriving.
And then from what I was reading, you give me the numbers, we're now the big exporter. So, as usual, the U.S. and Israel at the lead of evil, it's a fact, with all genetic engineering. I mean, what's the percentage between the U.S. and Israel versus global numbers?
Well, it's difficult to find. If you look at the market statistics, you can only see that the United States is dominant. And what that means is that it's really the only major market left in the West that does international surrogacy for anyone with no background checks whatsoever. And that's why it's dominant. Italy banned it last year entirely, a total ban on surrogacy, saying that it wouldn't permit people to travel abroad. Whereas you can't buy babies in England, but you can travel to the United States to do so. And one former very popular destination before 22 was Ukraine, which was the cut-price European hub for surrogacy. Now, it's been pointed out in a UN report, and again, isn't it remarkable we're taking moral lessons from the United Nations? that women have been trafficked into a kind of birth servitude across Europe, that some have been recorded of giving birth in handcuffs, that women have been forcibly injected with hormones to give birth. And you might think, well, that only takes place in places like Greece and Georgia and abroad, places like Vietnam and Cambodia. But if you look closer to home, shocking stories appeared this summer of child trafficking taking place under the guise of surrogacy. Now, again, this just sounds like clickbait because...
Well, let me stop you. We got to go to break. There are documented cases in the U.S. They call it the satanic hysteria of the 80s. It was real. They have documented cases where these Satan cults will have young women get pregnant. They keep them in a house or trailer just to have the baby for human sacrifice. So some of the earliest cases we have of surrogacy, it's also in the Bible, folks, and in the Roman histories, of cultures doing this, having women have babies, temple prostitutes, just for human sacrifice to Moloch. And everything that's old will then come back. So in the days of Noah, so in the time of the Son of Man will be right back.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
Oh,
because you showed
that,
up.
Is that the way to
you
call?
Showed up. You voted.
You can extend it right
a
now.
A permanent extension of massive tax breaks. Is that right?
90% of Americans take the standard deduction.
Is that right?
If you had your way, the standard deduction would have been cut in half. That would have been a massive tax increase on Americans.
Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic Party, and the rest of the deep state want you and I to shut up. We're not going to shut up. That's why on top of the giant sale we've got going, Veterans of the InfoWar right now, you get an additional 10% off at checkout at thealexshowstore.com with promo code Hakeem. Because no, Hakeem, we're not going to shut up. And when Americans and others back InfoWars and this operation and what we're doing, they are literally defending the tip of the spear. This is the media operation the globalists and the left hate the most. We can't do this without your support. So please help keep us on the air and really say no to Hakeem Jeffries and the rest of these people by going to thealexshowstore.com for the best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel, and here, promo code Hakeem to get 10% off right now. Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexshowstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexshowstore.com.
I explain to people that my tongue is blue because I love this stuff, methylene blue. I'm able to work like 18-hour days sometimes. This stuff is like rocket fuel.
I didn't know you were going to plug this. You even ordered it yourself, I later learned. What is the effect of our medical-grade methylene blue been on you, Roger?
Incredible, both physical and mental energy and focus. I mean, it really is like rocket fuel. Oh, you still like Brain Force? Back when I did the show with Owen Schroyer, the original, the real War Room, I was a big aficionado of Brain Force and Brain Force Force Plus. This is even a greater product. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Well, I've not had any since Friday. I only take it every couple of days. So I'm going to take my dose of methylene blue at my Topo Chico. It is amazing. And people ask me, what does it do? It cleans out your mitochondria. It skips the oxidization process of the cell. It's like iodine to the next level. It is such a game changer. Roger Stone, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate CMOS has been by far and away our best selling product on the AlexJonesStore.com when we launched it some months ago. Now we've had a hard time keeping the gummies in stock, so we formulated the capsules while we wait on more gummies to come in. Now Irish CMOS is something that's known to be incredible for your body because of the natural iodine that exists in it. It's not just any iodine, it's also abundantly bioavailable. Now if you don't know, iodine is incredible for your health and supports your body's ability to detoxify itself. Check check out Ultimate CMOS Capsules right now at the AlexJonesStore.com. Not only are you fighting for your health, your immunity, and your body's ability to detoxify itself, but you're fighting for humanity as well by keeping Alex Jones on the air, InfoWars on the air, and this crew operating to broadcast the truth worldwide wherever it is being censored, just like your body is under relentless assault and needs Ultimate CMOS Capsules in order to fight off all the toxins that you're met with. So is InfoWars under assault and needs the audience. So you go to the AlexJonesStore.com right now and subscribe for Ultimate CMOS Capsules every month.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Waging war on corruption, it's Alex Jones. Coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Look, slavery is as old as civilization itself, but turning humans into total commodities and creating things that aren't even human isn't the slippery slope. It is the opening to the pit of hell itself. And in 5 minutes, you can type in gay parents of surrogate caught raping children, or convicted pedophiles able to have a surrogate child. How in the hell can you not be 1,000 feet from school, you're a convicted child rapist, and then you're able to go pay a woman to have a baby and give it to you? You have to jump through all these hoops to adopt a child. My mother wanted to have a bunch of kids. But my dad was finishing medical school when she had me. She got the Dalcon Shield IED that was designed to sterilize women. They didn't tell them that. Destroyed her womb. And then she tried to do artificial insemination and, you know, the in vitro, all that. For a couple of years, that failed. I remember I was like 5 years old, this was going on. She had a bunch of surgeries, you name it. And so they said, okay, well, we'll adopt a child out of, you know, South Korea. That's my sister, 15 years younger than me, love her, she's awesome, Marley. It took them like 2-3 years to get her. And they had to be vetted and all the research and social workers and background. And my dad was a physician and perfect record. My mom, you know, all this stuff. And then that happened. So how do you then, with no vetting, go make a contract with a woman and then she just hands a kid over to you and you're a convicted pedophile? I mean, that right there. So talking to one of the leading experts on this, LifeSite News writer Frank Wright. Frank Ryder, his name's Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, but E-R on the end, frankwriter.com. Frank, there's a lot more to cover here. We'll have you back on soon. We got 30 minutes left, but what needs to be done about this? Because it's like transgender chemicals and surgeries being banned in the EU, banned in the UK, but accelerated here. I mean, this is outrageous stuff, and I love America. We're not the vanguard of some tyranny like censorship, like the EU or UK, but we're certainly the vanguard in turning humans into commodities. And what about communist China? I mean, 20 years ago, they had cows that have human udders and create milk and, you know, all sorts of chimeric nightmares and organ harvesting. But I would imagine China would be the leader in this, but you know, even they aren't. I mean, this is really shameful, and I think it's something that snuck up on us. So that's a lot of questions there. Go wherever you want first.
Well, the thing is that I honestly believe that Americans are a good and largely God-fearing people, and if they knew about this, they'd be scandalized. You've got to remember that this is a very powerful and very lucrative industry, and it's been working for over 30 years to permission. The pathway to paedophilia, as Katie Faust called it, the pathway to paedophile parenthood, rather. That's what Katie Faust called it. Now, just for one example, how could this happen in America? If you look at Governor Andrew Cuomo from 2019, he started a campaign that said that we need to have families for all. And it was a very bright and aspirational campaign, but really, he was pressurized by homosexualists like Andy Cohen, who himself had bought a baby, to permit and legalize LGBTQ surrogacy in New York State. And he did this at the quiet moment, as it were, under the COVID lockdown. So that minimized public protest, and he proudly announced it, I think, in 2021. But you can see that there's been a lot of political permissioning, that these agencies are typically run by very powerful and very experienced lawyers. And the man who founded Circle Surrogacy, whose founding purpose was to supply children to homosexual men like himself, He partnered with the U.S. State Department in 2016, before the Trump administration came in, I might add. And I think it would be noteworthy to ask Marco Rubio himself, which I intend to do, whether that partnership still exists, because, of course, this is big business. What can you do about it? Well, you can write to your state legislature. You can write to your state representatives. You can write to your Congress and to your senators. And you can ask them whether they stand with you or they stand with this manifest evil. And I would remind you again that it's not just people like myself. It's not just committed Catholics and Christians and the pro-life movement. This includes the outrage of people who don't even believe in God. If you like, this is an extraordinary new global moral majority of people who can see the simple evil of this business. And it's important to remember that anyone from anywhere in the world with the money can come to the United States and buy babies with no background checks, and that's still going on today.
Well, I mean, in some of these cases, they know they're pedophiles and give them to them. How the hell is that? I guess they say, the law's only written if you're a convicted pedophile around schools or whatever, but there's no law that you can't buy a baby. I mean, this is incredible. Look at this story from just yesterday. Christian couple barred from being foster parents for refusing to agree with gender affirmation policy in Massachusetts. So you can't be a foster parent if you're Christian or Catholic or conservative. Now they're trying to bar Christians from adopting children because they won't sign on to fast-track the kids into hell. Look at the discriminatory nature of this. But a convicted pedophile can go buy a baby.
Well, the video clip that you showed earlier on with the notorious case of the convicted pedophile who bought a baby with his so-called husband, he actually crowdfunded that baby. He managed to make an appeal to his audience to raise the money to buy it, and he did. Now, you may be alarmed to know that there are documented cases of courts in Britain and in the United States permissioning the purchase of babies by known convicted child sex offenders because it would be a violation of their human rights to deny them on those grounds. This was given in evidence by a woman called Lexi Ellingsworth, who runs Stop Surrogacy Now UK, and she gave it to the Parliament of Great Britain, showing that there was indeed a court case where British judges said that despite the fact that a man had travelled abroad to buy a baby and was a convicted child sex offender, he had a right to parenthood. So he managed to buy that baby nonetheless. It's basically seen as bigoted to prevent these people to have access to children.
It's beyond that, because you mentioned this is all about pedophiles at the top. Remember, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, Germany, in West Germany, under State Department-linked plan, had government psychiatrists taking children from mainly Christian and Catholic homes that were poor, giving them to convicted pedophiles to, quote, create a new culture and a new family form. They would give little boys to men, little girls to women, who would then fast-track them into literal sex slavery. That's mainstream news. So this is premeditated from the top from my research. What's yours?
Well, that took place. That started under the West German Chancellor Willy Brandt whilst the Berlin Wall was still up. And you can imagine the horror of the Stasi when they found that out. Because for all their horrors, I don't think there's any record of them doing that
Germany. No, exactly. They didn't do stuff like that.
No, because this is a very liberal idea. And the idea of liberalism, of course, is to liberate you completely from all moral restraints and to replace your religious beliefs with the political religion of liberalism itself, which, of course, includes the constant celebration of the rainbow flag and whatever additions they make to it this week. I dare to ask what the circle means, and for me, it symbolizes the pitiless eye of Sauron himself. But you can see where this progress has led, and you are right. This legal permissioning, this constant social revolution in the name of progress, a constant slippery slope where we're told that it's never happening, but it always does, where one thing leads to another. And then when you look closer, there is a history of the permissioning of the exploitation of children for sexual purposes. You may be unaware of the fact that in the 1970s, senior members of Britain's now ruling Labour Party were also associated with an organization called the Paedophile Information Exchange, or PIE, which campaigned towards the normalization of sex with children, the abolition of consent laws, and a man who continually campaigned for LGBTQ rights.
Well, let's slow down there. I am aware of that, and it's important. NAMBLA is kind of its U.S. counterpart. Slow down. This is important for people to know. The Labor Party, which Keir Starmer comes out of, 15 years as head magistrate protecting pedophiles. I mean, this is literally their sacrament. This is their religion.
Well, there are members, for example, Harriet Harman, who remains a kind of senior Labour Party grandee, is probably the most well-known member today, who was actually photographed at one of their events. Now, this was called the Paedophile Information Exchange, and it campaigned for the normalisation of paedophilia and the lowering of the age of consent, and the view of paedophilia as simply another normal expression of human sexuality.
Love is love.
Now, this is, well, quite, just as water is water, so that's why we all drink out of toilets.
Wow. So, but I interrupted you, you were getting to a point about this group, that, that from my research, Jimmy Savile, all of it, I mean, all our countries are infested with this, but it seems like the UK, particularly for political control, is one of the worst. Israel and the US. But the Netherlands is really bad. Germany's bad. From your research, who's the worst?
Well, I would say that the research that I've done on Britain far occludes anything else that I've done. I did try to write an article called Rotten Britain, which looked at the 1960s and 1970s in Westminster itself. And you might be interested to learn that there was a paternalist, they used to call themselves paternalists, called Roy Jenkins around at the time. He was a famous kind of liberaliser. He was the man who decriminalised homosexuality. It was him who said that despite public opinion, we're going to decriminalise it. Now, there is a record in Hansard in Parliament of him having a meeting with the Chief of Police of London at the time. And he basically tells the Chief of the Metropolitan Police to stop investigating and arresting men for having sex with other men in public toilets, which was a criminal offence. And the Chief of Police returns to him and says, well, we don't actually do it around Westminster because it would be very embarrassing to the government. And then he also reminded Roy Jenkins that it wasn't the business of the government to tell the police what to do about the law, and that, in fact, that was unconstitutional. And at the same time, you had people like Cyril Smith in the Parliament, who is an enormously morbid, obese fellow who was the MP for Rochdale. Over the road from his offices in Rochdale was a notorious cruising place for people to go and pick up child prostitutes, which he did. He also opened and patronised a home for young boys at that time. So the presence of paedophilia in European governments, the British government, going back decades, is certainly documented and somewhat notorious. Now, in the past, I have spoken to police officers who conducted Operation Yew Tree and Operation Stovewood. Operation Yew Tree was the police investigation into Jimmy Savile and his crimes, and Stovewood was into institutional paedophilia and so on. And these investigations eventually led to practically nowhere. But if you're interested as to why that's the case, have a read of a book which I was given by one of the police officers, which is called In Plain Sight, and it documents the career of Jimmy Savile and how his behaviour was permissioned because he was the close friend of many high-level establishment figures who appear to be implicated in the same kind of practices as himself.
And best buddies with the King of England. So, look, it goes back to the Bible. And it's not just the Bible. They've got historians. They've done the archaeological sites. Everything in the Old Testament is true. All these different civilizations were killing kids, raping them. So let's just give virgins to the god, you know, burn them to death, rape them. The Aztecs were doing it. Just, the Druids were doing human sacrifice of kids. I mean, this is a thing that just isn't even part of human instinct. It just comes really from the devil, obviously. And you've got these people that have fallen to it that have an endless hunger for children. And it does look like, though, there's a great awakening to this and a lot more awareness. And the whole transgender thing is the leading edge of that. But as you, I agree with you, this is even bigger on scale and just as bad or worse and all part of the same, you know, thing. Do you agree there's a big awakening? And what do you think comes next?
Well, yes, I do agree there's a big awakening. And I think that the next awakening of this will be in the American public, who will probably be scandalized that it is the United States of America that is the global hub of this evil trade. Why does it take a discredited organization like the UN to point out the simple fact that the sale of children is a crime? Who knew? If you completely degrade the value of human life, if you reduce it to a kind of factory farmed product that practically anyone in the world can come and buy, then of course you've devalued the sanctity of life. You've devalued the innocence of childhood. It's simply another product to be consumed. And there's another point, that most of our Western economies are consumerist. And what that reduces to is a form of addictive nihilism. You're just supposed to get addicted to trash. Most of the food in the supermarket isn't food. It's toxic rubbish. And most of the things you consume in the media are basically toxic food for thought as well, built and marketed by the same industry. And I think people broadly are getting sick, literally sick, spiritually sick, and tired of being fed this trash, and they can recognize evil when they see it. Now, my question would be, if an increasing coalition of the godless, of radical campaigning feminists, of liberals, of left and right, of Christians, conservatives, and so on, can see this evil, why can't the United States government see this evil?
Absolutely. So here's the bigger question. Because I've seen the UK saying, stop the surgery, stop the drugs. The EU's moving there. The US is doubling down. It's just really bizarre. Because the UK's, you know, the pedophilia and sexual abuse of kids have been way out front, even ahead of the US, which is saying a lot. Why do you think the UN's saying ban surrogacy? Why do you think the UK's moving away from transgenderism so quickly? Because obviously you've got some very immoral people running it. Is it because they realize it's a bridge too far and it's blown up their face? Or is it because they've actually had some moral renaissance there?
Well, I think you've got to give a lot of credit to the women. I mean, I remember when I was suffering in a kind of winter lodge with my family one day, years ago, around 2016, and I said to my wife, I think this is the end of World War T, the beginning of the end of the so far victorious campaign of the transgender industry. And that was the awakening of millions of women, largely through Mumsnet, who realized that the transgender industry was going to erase them entirely. And they were going to have to genuflect to grotesque, sexualized parodies of themselves. And so this is that's where that began, if you ask me. Women generally realized that they were being replaced by this perverted, diabolical industry. And now, if you like, the second wave is going to be simpler for people to comprehend. Having seen how such a manifestly evil system, such as the transgender cult, and it was a system, it's an industry, it was virally transmitted through the internet, and it was permissioned by people who were pressured into it by pressure groups, largely sponsored by that industry as well, to normalize the surgical mutilation and permanent sterilization of children.
Bullied.
Well, how can you end up with that? You can see that that wave has broken. It's in retreat. Statistics came out today that fewer and fewer American teenagers are identifying as trans and non-binary.
So now they're pivoting the wave to the surrogacy. Peaked. Now, the whole pedophile thing is pivoting to surrogacy.
Well, this is, again, it's an enormous industry. You might feel despair that it's got so much infiltration into federal and national government and government at local level, too, that it's got so much power. But if you look at the transgender industry and what's happened to that, I think you should draw some inspiration from this. And I would like to point out as well that I got a fair bit of stick for approaching feminists to talk about the transgender business and the surrogacy industry. But it is those feminists who have done some of the most pioneering work to stop it. For example, it was a young feminist in India who I interviewed about the phenomenon of trans widows. And why did you never see any stories about the women widowed by men who had now decided to impersonate them and replace them in their own homes? So I think there's a lot of credit to be given to those women there, and also the fact that if we do stand together as human beings, God-fearing and not, against this evil,
we must respect ourselves and our dignity. Even if we don't recognize God and it's God's plan, we have to have dignity. We've got to have simple territorialism about who we are and some respect for it. I mean, we'll respect an old building. You can't tear it down because we respect our history. Well, that's a trillion times less important than our genetics and who we are and these godforsaken, satanic, mad scientists that just want to demoralize us and have no rules so they can play God. That's what this is really all about. These are all just sick tests to break our will.
Yeah, I mean, just look into the supermarket and see how much of it is actually food, and then imagine a human being on the shelf next to all that trash. I mean, that's basically what you're heading towards. And this is why you find it quite simple to unite people. You can put your differences aside. And if you can put your differences aside for a minute, you can stop this profound moral evil And basically, the destruction of the value of human life and its reduction to a consumer product.
No, I agree. So let me answer my earlier question. I'll say a lot, so I don't blame you. I'll say 10 questions a minute. Why is communist China, who's normally absolutely immoral and pure evil, why are they not in the middle of this?
Well, I don't know, is the simple answer to your question. It would seem that it's been deliberately monetized in the US, and it was John Weltman's Circle Surrogacy that opened up surrogacy in Israel to LGBTQ men to America, and then you saw the transmission of a lot of Israeli scientists to the United States laboratories to start this process of generating what you might call human factory farming. It's simply big business. And well, at the same time that you have depopulationist tendencies, you have it. It's almost impossible for many people in the West now to even dream of supporting a family.
I mean, well, that's because of the economic system. So we can't have kids, they admit, and all the chemicals in the food, it's hard to have kids. So they tell us, don't have normal, natural, real kids, but oh, all the corporate stuff, it's wonderful.
Yes, it's fine. We can just make them in a laboratory for you now, as soon as you've got the money. And don't worry, we won't have to pay any women because we can do it in a mechanical womb. Lovely.
We got to have you back up soon. I want to play a few of these clips you sent me. Here's one from CBS News on the future. No one will have babies through sex. That's what the left's openly pushing. And then another clip. Well, just it speaks for itself. Here they are.
Egg freezing technology, Northwell's Dr. Singer thinks, will get better and better.
Do you think that one day, virtually every young woman will do this as it would be routine?
I really do think so. Once it's going to be affordable, covered by insurance, I'm a big believer that egg freezing and IVF is going to be the way our next generation will expand. I think that having timed intercourse or unprotected intercourse for reproduction is going to be falling out of favor in the next generation or
what?
So.
Wait. What?
Yeah.
What did you just say?
I said that sex is going to be for fun and for pleasure, but most likely in a generation from now, when couples want to have kids, most likely they're going to be using artificial reproductive technique. You'll have frozen eggs.
Wait, are you saying that we won't have sex to have children?
I'm sure my two-year-old will ask me, Mom, Dad, you had unprotected intercourse? What about chromosomal abnormalities, miscarriages, twins? What were you doing? Russian roulette.
That is literally Brave New World, written in 1922 by Aldous Huxley, his brother, head eugenicist, Julian Huxley. This is all planned out. Oh, humans can't drive cars. You'll have wrecks. Oh, you can't have your brain outside a computer. You might die someday. This is the end of humanity. This is Brave New World. This is childhood's end. And now, listen to this clip. It even gets worse.
Seven on Your Side investigates a case of child abuse that could lead to a wider investigation tonight. It involves 21 children, all linked to the same couple in Arcadia. Eyewitness News reporter Rob Hayes live with the details. Rob?
Yeah, Mark, 21 children all living inside this house, all of them from surrogate moms. 17 of them were 3 years old or younger. Now, we tried to talk to the folks who live here, but the front gate's been locked all day. That didn't stop the police from getting in, though.
It's a house that looks like a castle, but it's under investigation for being a possible factory, a baby factory.
We believe that it extended beyond our city and into possibly other parts of the country and maybe internationally.
Arcadia police stumbled upon this house on Camino Real Avenue while investigating a child abuse case, a two-month-old suffering a traumatic head injury. After getting a search warrant, detectives seized security cameras from inside the home and made some alarming discoveries.
We discovered numerous children, 15 children to be specific, ranging in ages from 2 months old to 13 years old. Many of the children were birthed through surrogacy, and then the male and female at the residence took legal guardianship of those kids.
Six other kids, investigators say, had been moved to other homes. All 21 of the kids confirmed to be the children of this couple, 65-year-old Guajun Shen and 38-year-old Sylvia Zhang. They were arrested for felony child endangerment but later released. Police have also issued an arrest warrant for their nanny, 56-year-old Chun Mei Li. Investigators say after looking at the surveillance video, she is the main suspect in the child abuse case and is still
Stay right there. Do a two-minute break. Come back with our guest to finish up. And then Jade Iyer is coming up. But, folks, this is the tip of the iceberg. 500,000 kids smuggled in under Biden, sex slavery, you name it. I mean, this is hell on earth. You can imagine what's going on. You can imagine how many of these facilities there are around the country. I mean, this is just a nightmare. The left hates factory farming chickens, and I agree that you'd have some, you know, controls. But let's do no human factory farming first. Let's stick up for our species first. We'll be right back with hour number four. Stay with us.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam, from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Site writer and journalist Frank Wright's our guest. We got 5 minutes left ahead of Jade Iyer taking over. Frank, what else should you impart to people about this incredibly important issue?
Well, the clip that you just played that showed a child trafficking ring under the guise of surrogacy, which was discovered, I think, in June and July of this year. I found out about that from a video by a woman called Callie Fell from the executive director of the Center for Bioethics and Culture. She had interviewed an American surrogate called Kayla. Now, according to Kayla, she said that that agency was still trading. After that investigation, it simply changed its name and continued to do business. And it's doing business today. So it hasn't been shut down. Not only that, that's not the only one. In the same video, Callie Fell goes on to tell you that there's a concurrent investigation to a different child trafficking ring, which again has been discovered because surrogate mothers looked up the purchasing parents, which are called commissioning parents, and found that they'd had dozens of children over the space of about 18 months. And this obviously wasn't possible for them. And these were foreigners. I think they were Chinese in both cases. And they were basically selling the children to Chinese customers abroad. And I would stress again, that they haven't been shut down for having been caught.
Wow. I mean, just this level of evil, it's almost too evil to fail unless we all wake up to it. It's so big.
Well, there's one other dimension that I think I ought to mention, and it's this idea that you may overlook it because feminists talk about it a lot, but the erasure of motherhood. Now, there's the case of CM. There was a woman in the United States who was commissioned to give birth to a child for a man that she didn't know. which is quite common through surrogacy agencies. And as she was pregnant, she found that all of the embryos implanted were live. So she's going to have triplets. When the client found out, he asked her to abort them because he couldn't support them. She then found out he was a deaf man living in his parents' basement with no means of individual income, who had been reported by his sister as a potential danger to children. As she brought the children to term, she found out that this man's nephew was selling heroin out of the basement where the children were supposed to live. Because of the concerns that she might take the children, she was forced to give birth alone with a screen over her stomach and an armed security guard on the door, who then took all the babies without her ever having seen them to this man. In the next year, his sister reported him again for neglect, because the children were neglected, they weren't being fed, they were filthy. She tried to get them back. The judge in the case said that what happened to the babies was not the business of the US court. All that mattered was that the man who had bought them owned them. She tried to get them back through the US Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court refused to hear her case. This is what it means.
Well, I want to look that case up. What's the name again?
I'll find it for you. It's the case of CM, and I'm just going to find you the case.
Well, no, send it to me and come back on in a week or so, because imagine if Christians are seen by their neighbors spanking their child when they walk on the street, the state takes them away. But if you're selling people to heroin dealers, their property, they have no rights. I mean, it's the same thing with the transgender stuff. It is totally sick.
Well, it's legally permissioned, and the reason why it's legally permissioned is because the agencies are run by very experienced, influential lawyers who go around the country and act for their clients.
Well, that's right. So it's
like
evil lawyers. Look, California surrogate loses bid. That's the case you're talking about, to be named mother of triplets. Wow. So you can literally have a heroin dealer in a basement who's not ordering a Venus flytrap through the mail or, you know, ordering a sweater. They're ordering triplets to a basement, and even when it comes out, this is reported by the sister, the babies are being abused. The judge says, nope, we're not getting in the middle of this commerce that dwarfs the transatlantic slave trade. Frank Wright, everybody should follow your work. We'll talk to you soon. Please come on next week. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Jones, and God bless you for helping us fight the good fight against this evil.
We're all in it together. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Black Dog Rolling.
Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
You know, there's a saying that Alex Jones is always right, and that's not true. I'm right about 98% of the time. And my real goal about knowing how the globalists operate is to predict what they're going to do so enough people listen to me so that we have enough political and cultural pull to stop the predictions happening. And I knew about surrogacy, and I knew about a lot of it, but just today, the crew pulled up hundreds of horrible things. I mean, convicted pedophiles allowed to get kids here in the U.S. We're the capital of it. It doesn't mean anybody that's done a surrogacy is a bad person, but it's lawless. The way it's been set up is pure evil. And then the guest is like, oh, yeah, this heroin dealer that's deaf ordered 3 babies, and then the woman reported it, but because it was a contract, the police came and strapped her down in the liberal jurisdiction and took the 3 babies and delivered them to a heroin dealer in a basement. And then the sister of the heroin dealer said he's hurting babies, and the judge said, well, he's allowed to, he owns them. And I'm telling you, if you're a Christian or a conservative in Europe or the U.S. or Canada, that's why so many Germans are fleeing to Russia, they will take your child if you got a crooked toenail. And you've had DynCorp and others here in the U.S. with CPS involved in all sorts of stuff. This is premeditated evil. And that's why the bad guys want us off air. So before I hand the baton to Jay Dyer for the rest of the hour and then Harrison Smith come up with the war room today, when I say I don't want to be proven right, I want to stop this stuff ahead of time. I've been on air 31 years. I had attacks and things that went on the first decade, but nothing compared to this. I had globalists try to buy me off all that. But starting right when Trump got elected 9.5 years ago, and these were off-the-record meetings, so it wasn't criminal what they were doing. So, you know, I said, I'll meet with you in confidence. That's how I still can meet with people, billionaires, leaders, you know, you name it. Because I'll have the meetings with them as long as they don't ask me to do something criminal. It's an off-the-record meeting. But I got told by the representatives, the richest man in the world at that time, it's not Elon Musk, right before all these lawsuits got filed 8 years ago, you either take the money and work for us or you're going to get destroyed. And the lawsuits are going to start in 1 month. So later, when I'm dealing with the Democrat law firms that are downstream and they're in mediation with me saying, you know, we'll destroy it, sell out. I was like, you know, I already got this offer from your bosses. Like, I already know this. It's not what you don't think. I don't know I'm fighting evil. But the bottom line is they know we have a giant audience. They know we cover all the evil. And spotlight, like spotlighting cockroaches, as Ted Nugent loves to say. So understand this. I instinctively and spiritually cannot be bought, cannot be intimidated, cannot be made to back down. It's not even a thing of courage. This is what I am. I instinctively want to destroy these people. Just like you have a German Shepherd and, you know, you're asleep at night and somebody breaks in to hurt your kid, the German Shepherd attacks them. It's not like it's been a courage thing. It's trained to do it. It's what it does. It attacks. It's built for it. And I know you're built for it, too. That's who I have on as guests. That's who I promote is all the other people that stand up against evil. But we've survived massive lawfare and intense attacks for over 8 years. I mean, if I had to do a graph of it, overhead shot, I get on air in 1994 on Access TV. 2 years later, I'm on local radio. A year later, it goes to weekday. A year later, it gets syndicated. You know, you move way down here to 2025, and the attacks are like this. And that's okay. And when I exposed 9/11, it was, nothing compared to this. You know, here I just went from 200 radio stations to 30 overnight. But it didn't matter. It was my integrity. Stations called and said, stop saying it's an inside job or we'll take you off. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I can't be bought. But it is the listeners that decide whether I continue to be able to attack for you. Because I'm attacking for myself. We're all in this together. There's nothing I want to do more than be lowered down in a cage with these people. It's not a heroic thing I'm doing. My head's screwed on straight. As a man, as a warrior, I want to cut these people's heads off. I don't mean that literally. But if I had to use my head as a hammer to hammer their brains out, even admit my brains got hammered out, I wouldn't even think about it. I'd bash my head in their head. And at the end of the day, I think we know whose head would be open. So, and they know that spirit, and they don't like it. They can smell defeat. They can smell I got their number. I've been risen up by God for this job. There's no doubt about that. And you've been risen up by God. That's why you care. That's why you're tuned in. That's why you do what you do. But I'll say this in closing before I hand the baton to Jay Dyer, great researcher, great friend. the epicness of the what we've gone through, that you backed us, you get the credit. And my constantly having to come to you for support, and you're not behind the scenes, you don't know how many times it was within millimeters of us being shut down and God pulled it back. If it's God's will, InfoWars will stay on the air, but all of the stuff has been exhausted. It's all been rigged. You saw the Supreme Court, all of it. People say, well, then why'd you do it? Because I knew the process and that we were going to drag it out so more corruption came out. God told me, drag it out. And then the CIA and FBI documents came out and all the testimony and now all the civil stuff we've got that is dynamite, that won't be in jurisdictions they control, that'll be in front of fair judges. They're done. As long as I have your support and funding. Like, they think it's a defeat that Ed Martin started an investigation into the DOJ targeting me. And then the head of the DOJ, deputy head, came out and repudiated me and attacked me. That just put it on the front burner. So that now everybody's looking at Todd Blanche and all the horrible stuff he's been doing to everybody else. And everybody else is scared of him. I'm not. I'm scared of God. And by the way, that's not arrogance. Like, I think I'm bulletproof or something. Far from it. But I'm a warrior. And I'm ready to put skin in the game. I'm ready to get lowered down in the gladiatorial pit. Because the alternative of bowing to this satanic anti-human system that literally makes my cells burn with resistance is worse than death. So, you've heard, oh, we're so close to being shut down with all the stuff they pulled, all the things they've done, and maybe God comes through. Maybe that's God's plan. But before, they didn't have warrants. Before, they didn't have court orders. Before, it was totally lawless. Fake auctions. This time, looks like it's there. All I ask is, when the new network fires up, the Alex Jones Network, and the URLs, we tell you about everything, that you share it, and you share it, you share it again, and that like a phoenix from the ashes, we rise. And that now, you help resupply us at a critical time for our legal defense and offense and for the Alex Jones Network, and also funds InfoWars, if it's God's choice, through a miracle we survive, to go to the alexjonesstore.com that I don't own so the bad guys can't get it, with the t-shirts, the best supplements, and all of it to keep us on the air. So relaunch the Alex Jones Broadcast Super Sale Fundraiser. Get $10 at checkout automatically on anything you buy. 25% off store-wide on top of it. That is massive. And a bunch of other big sales on the site right now. So it really is up to you whether this dog hunts. The very best Shilajit, the very best Irish Sea Moss, the very best ultramethylene blue. It's all there. And it's not like you're betting on somebody that you don't know whether we've had success or not together. When you bet on this operation, you bet, because of God, not me, the most successful, the most devastating weapon against the enemy other than Trump. But the information warfare space, we're number one. And so all I ask for is your backing at this critical time so that I have the energy I need, I have the funding I need, the provision I need, so that I can go into this as strong as I can. If you don't support us, it's very simple. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't feel bad. You're choosing not to defend yourself. It's very simple. As Trump always says, they're not trying to get me. They got to get through me to get to you. Never truer words have been spoken. And so it's an absolute no-brainer to support what we're doing here at TheAlexJonesStore.com. I want to thank those of you that have supported. You realize this isn't the Truman Show. This isn't some other dinner table. This is the real war on the ground in the arena. And when you fund this, you fund your own future. And if people ever got the idea of spending time and energy and money in the fight for the control of culture through superiority, not through force, people want what we're promoting. What we're promoting is real. It's what God designed us to be. We're handing out iced tea for free in the Sahara. They're trying to sell snow to Eskimos. That's why we're popular and they're not. That's why all the most popular podcasts and all the best shows are all anti-globalists. It's why all the other shows sound just like me. That's great. I don't get mad at that. I always said that'd be my success. The problem is they get what's happening now. Most of those shows don't see over the horizon. I know I've got more work to do. The minute I see enough people prominent that understand things like I do, there are many that are as smart as I am. They're just not as prominent. As soon as I see a constellation of prominent people that understand this as good as I do or better, 100%, you ain't going to be hearing from me anymore. Not that I hate my job. I know it's a mission, and I want to disappear. But until that moment happens, I will be 100% throwing my full will and everything I've got at the enemy, and I'll never back down, I'll never sell, I'll never give in, but I can give out. You are in the rocket fuel in this rocket. You load the rocket, it goes into orbit. You don't load, it don't launch, or it blows up on the launch pad. We've all been given a duty by God. We've all been given a commission. I've taken mine. And I ask you in this war to provision us for this fight with your word of mouth, with your prayer, and with financials. Go now to thealexjonesword.com and back your own future and your own destiny. God's watching. Jay Dyer, best-selling author, researcher, Jay's Analysis, takes over now.
Welcome. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate that. Today we're going to talk about one of the top texts of the elite. But before I do, I want to talk about the history of the Rothschild family and their background when it comes to the nation state of Israel. A lot of people don't know that they were involved in the founding, the purchasing, and the funding of the nation state of Israel years before there was any political Zionist movement. I've actually talked about this for many, many years. People think that it's something I don't talk about. But I didn't talk about it during the period when it would get everybody demonetized. I just made it more of a spicy members content, which, by the way, you can go to my website and become a member at Jay's Analysis or on my Rockfin or on my YouTube. There's a great book that's a biography of the Rothschilds, and it's this one here. And this biography goes into great history as a kind of a authorized biography of the family. And it talks about how there was a secret benefactor back in the 1800s that was purchasing land. And it wasn't the British Rothschild family. It was actually the French. It talks about Edmund being a secret protector king who had the secret code name Nadav Heyuda, which was the name that he used to purchase many areas of Palestine. He was known as the anonymous benefactor, but it was in fact Baron Rothschild. This particular purchase led to more and more purchases, and eventually they were influenced by Chaim Weizmann and Theodor Herzl to begin to adopt and accept the political Zionist project, which originally they were not very interested in. They just wanted to create an area where there could be pilgrimages. They tried to purchase the Wailing Wall, but they were not successful. They were also sold this land by a Turkish sultan. So it's not as if this was all some sort of colonial project that just moved in and forcibly eradicated everybody without Islamic collaboration. In fact, there's an entire book on the history of Zionist and Palestinian collaboration. As Alex has pointed out many times, Hamas was created by Israel. And if you read Victor Ostrovsky's books on the history of the Mossad, he talks about how it was created as a counterbalance to the PLO to create destabilization and to be a force that they could use to destabilize other areas like Lebanon. And this ties into where we get even the support by Israel and the CIA for the toppling of Assad. That's called Timber Sycamore. Timber Sycamore was a multi-year billion-dollar project that was aimed at toppling Assad that supposedly ended, but of course they just named these projects other name and they names and they continue forward with these plans to destabilize. But this goes all the way back to the geopolitical strategy of the British Empire and the Rothschild family. They wanted to set up a specific outpost, a geopolitical outpost for the British Empire in the nation state of Israel. And it was called Palestine. In fact, Lord Rothschild himself calls it the Palestinian project. So this idea that there was never a Palestine is just simply not true. It's in the mainline histories and biographies of the Rothschilds, for example. So these families that we're talking about. And it's not only Jewish families. There's a lot of families involved in these kinds of projects, wealthy elites. And the divide between Islam and Judaism is, I think, for people in the West, a false divide. And a lot of the commentators and people that are out there speaking on this, in fact, I have friends that their families have split up over this issue, which is odd because it doesn't seem like a reason that marriages would split or something like that over things going on thousands of miles away. But people are becoming radicalized and compartmentalized and politicized to a degree like we've never seen. I think there's some intentional push to make everybody more and more radical. And that's being done, I think, to divide and conquer in the long term. I'm not saying it's all bad to have strong opinions. I'm definitely on the right. But I also recognize how real politics works. And I think that people in the audience should as well. We should try to be nuanced and not fall into being entrapped or led into kind of wild, crazy actions. If you look, for example, at my Twitter right now, I've posted from Tragedy and Hope. It's I think it's around page 1059, from Carol Quigley's book. The fact that Hitler was raised to power by the British establishment. And it's not just the British establishment. There were Western political powers involved in that. So it was more of a tool situation to by the big powers divide up and carve up the Middle East. This is what the Sykes-Picot agreement was all about. That was Britain, France, Russia, et cetera, carving up the Middle East and creating it as we have it now. So we're living in this post-British imperial period when now we have the rise of an Israeli power in that region, which is very powerful. They definitely have a lot of influence on the American geostrategic approach to things. But the idea that everything is only a Jewish problem or something like that is totally misconception. In fact, a lot of the right-wing commentators never talk about Islam and the Islamic invasion. I made the same mistake 10 years ago when I thought, oh, Islam's based. I wasn't interested in Islam. I'm just saying I thought, oh, maybe it's based. Maybe it's, yeah, exactly. That's it. Maybe it's in some way amenable to Christianity. And a lot of these right-wing commentators, in fact, are cheering on, for example, the Vatican. They think the Vatican is some bastion of Christianity against the onslaught of the attack on Western civilization. But in fact, the Vatican is now opening up the Vatican Library to Islamic prayers. They're allowing prayer rugs by Muslims to come and pray, and the Roman Catholics are cheering this on. The new Pope has made many, many overtures to not just Muslims, but even cheering on Diwali, the Hindu festival, as if everyone worships the same God. So there's a real push here for some kind of new world religion that we've been warning about, that especially Orthodox saints have warned about, like Father Seraphim Rose. He wrote the book Orthodoxy and the Religion of the Future, which warns about this kind of a future coming world religion. And yet again, we're not understanding the danger, that we're not having discernment, that Islam is a tool of the global elite. And that's not antithetical to Israeli interests either. In fact, some have said, and some rabbis have said, Israel, that Islam is the broom of the Jews. Islam is the broom of Israel. They don't mind Islam coming through and wiping out enemies or wiping out people that they don't care for. And this ties into the Vatican's moves as well. So the Vatican is not just allowing for prayer rooms. The Vatican is actually engaging in open, allowing for Muslims to come and do and read the Quran in Roman Catholic churches. There are many cases of this. The popes have gone and prayed in the synagogues, which in the ancient Christian canons of the first 1,000 years is forbidden. Why are they all doing this? Well, you could say they're all compromised and that kind of stuff, and that's probably true. But there's a move, there's a real spiritual movement, a kind of a delusion to push for a world religion like this. And to not understand the importance and the role that Islam plays is just foolish. And a lot of the right-wingers out there act like we can all be on the same side, that we could be, that there's some sort of a geopolitical alliance between these groups. Now, I've always been nice, for example, to Nick Fuentes, and we've always been on good terms. And I think recently he was under the impression that I uploaded old debates a month ago to try to provoke him, which wasn't the case. I was just asking my Clips channels to upload whatever they wanted to. Well, this led him to sort of want to deride the arguments that I make. And so I offered a geopolitical debate, and I'd still like to offer Nick any kind of geopolitical debate that he wants. It can be friendly, not hostile. I'm not trying to ankle bite. I'm not mad at him, but I do want to iron out and discuss, if he's willing, the serious issues with the Vatican. And I think that he would be a lot more effective if he didn't link himself and sort of ground himself in this kind of a Vatican worldview, which if you read the documents of Vatican II, for example, Nostra Aetate and other texts are very adamant that you don't speak against Islam and Jews because they all have a common path to God that we can all achieve through whatever religion we are in. And that's just simply not true. The entire history of Western civilization, especially the Latin Crusades, especially Orthodox countries that have had to engage in crusades against Muslims, certainly didn't have this attitude, right? They didn't believe that all the religions are the same, that Islam is just another path. And yet this is exactly what the new Pope, just like Pope Francis, is saying in his letters, in his condolences, in his offerings, in his announcements about the other religions. And when we come back, and by the way, Alex said he would host that, so I would be glad if Nick's willing to have a friendly discussion. We could talk about all of these issues. I think he mentioned that he wanted to have a discussion about yay. I'm happy to debate the yay topic, Hitler, any of these issues. If you would like to do it, it can be a friendly exchange. This is the Alex Jones Show. Don't go anywhere. I'm your guest.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways, I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to the alexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too, to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Alex Jones. Patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him.
We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer. This is the fourth hour. I want to remind you that I'll be doing several live events coming up in the next few days. I will be in Flowood, Mississippi, at the film festival this weekend. You can look that up on my website. I'll be there with Kevin Sorbo, by the way. Shout out to all the great, wholesome content that he's been putting out. And I'll be giving a talk on occult satanic cinema. My new book, Esoteric Hollywood 3, will be out in the next few days. It's supposed to ship. So you can get signed copies at my website, jasonalysis.com. And we will be doing a conference at my church, November 28th. 20th and 21st. You can get tickets at the same link at my site as well. Today we're going to talk about the book I've been reading that's a really important global elite text, and it's called Changing Images of Man. And it's going to tie perfectly into what we just talked about in terms of how the system steers political movements, ideological movements, and religious movements. So Changing Images of Man talks about the Stanford Research Institute's plans back in the 1980s. This is an early 80s text, talking about how to create a one world religion. And the way that they would do that would be to use ideas like perennialism, the religion, the religion of the religions, which is this idea that there's a kind of a super religion, a Neoplatonic supra religion that is the real religion behind all of the world religions. They're all kind of wearing a mask. They're wearing a coat, and they're the frontispiece for this skeletal global real religion going back to the early origins of man. This idea was pushed by people like Fritjof Schuon, René Guénon, Julius Evola, all characters that I've read over the years. And while that might sound interesting, it also sounds kind of Freemasonic, right? The idea is that the social engineers could utilize this as a way to create and steer and control America's mindset. And to do that, they would have to retool and rebrand and change everything about religion. In fact, the first page begins with U Thant, who was the Secretary General of the United Nations, saying that we will have to control human population. We'll have to disarm the population, and we will have to create a one world government, or else the world will collapse. So this crisis model that they've always used, this idea that we are in crisis if we don't have a global government right now, if we don't create a socialist technocratic control system, everything will collapse, is what they've said in every one of the global elite texts that we work through. Right now in the UK, they're passing a digital ID. They're trying to pass, they're arresting people for their tweets under Keir Starmer's Fabian socialist government. So people talk about all these hot button political issues, but overlook the bigger picture technocratic stuff that's really being put in as we speak, as we live. So this is the real danger, but it can't come without something aiding it like a world religion. What kind of a world religion would they create? Well, it turns out this book cites the very patterns of what they would do. And the book, at the beginning of the book, it says that, and this, by the way, is a textbook. It's a graduate level geopolitical textbook for people studying international relations and systems analysis. So It's the World Order series. So it's telling you right there, it's basically the New World Order series. It says that we'll have to create a New Age style religion based on something like the Aquarian conspiracy text. It says that man will be indoctrinated into a kind of ecological religion. So a bunch of DMT shaman bros is the future. And that's the kind of man that they want to see the Western man become. In fact, the book says that they have to manipulate the archetypes that we look at, that we see as man and woman. It says that the masculine archetype would have to be devalued, while the feminine feminist archetype would have to be raised up and promoted. This archetypal manipulation leads to a social engineering to rid man of his prejudice and his belief that he is in any way special in the universe. Man is just another piece of a meaningless, nihilistic, flowing evolutionary flux. And he comes and goes, and he needs to be humbled, the text says, in order to understand that. In fact, this book says even in the 1980s, American religions and American synagogues and churches were already social justice organizations. And because of the work of Jonas Salk, which we've lectured through, the founder of modern inoculations, Salk says that only the wisest should survive. Everyone else should be depopulated. So even though it's very tempting to get caught up in the political back and forth of Israel, Palestine, and all this stuff, and I'm not saying it doesn't matter, this is the overarching, bigger spiritual plan that is already rolling out. The book says that the literal priests of power are the ones that will have control in this class-based society. There will be a new series of classes, just like Brave New World talks about the alphas and the betas and the gammas, etc. It says that the religion of the future that they're going to put in will have eco-sages, ecological sages, and these eco-sages will be akin to the yogis, and will be very influenced by Far Eastern Hinduism and Taoist philosophy. It says that the God of the Bible, Yahweh, that God will have to be diminished in its influence and in its status. Many people in the West are still grounded in some sort of biblical ethos, even if they're not that committed to it. That ethos has to be diminished and gotten rid of. Instead, there will be a new Christian mystical body. This is page 23, that will be akin to something like a Gnostic view. They actually say this in the text. And the new ecological body of mankind, that is the new church, will be one with nature and one with Gaia, one with the world. All notions of virtue and excellence and individualism that come out of the Western ethos will have to be replaced with a collectivism. This collectivism will be brought in, it says on page 30, through operant conditioning using techniques out of actual MKUltra, including B.F. Skinner, including Carl Rogers, the behaviorists, and what they call behavior alteration. In fact, they even discuss electrodes in the brain. That's on page 30. So, and if you doubt me, here you go. They're actually citing Jose Delgado right here, who is one of the MKUltra doctors who wrote about physical control of the mind. The next chapter again talks about perennialism, that the world religion that they will have to inculcate is one based around all the religions having some element of truth, and just concocting something that kind of makes them all work together. This religion of the world, this religion of nature, and all of man's society is blended into one. It says will have to be something akin to a doctrine that man is nature. So it's basically a new Ten Commandments. They're saying that in one sense, although man was seen as an aspect of nature, man is nature and thus has no notion of being made in the image of God, because everything is God. So it's a pantheistic turn, and man is no longer made in the image of God and has dominion over the created order. Now he's going to be just simply one aspect of an evolutionary process. And this is all coming out of other global elite texts that we've lectured through, like Ghost in the Machine by Arthur Koestler. Also texts like Fritjof Capra's Turning Point. The book says that Americanism is the key to bringing down the old order, meaning that there's good things and bad things about American philosophy and American ideology and the Enlightenment. But the thing that has to be brought down and retooled is the idea that man is unique and that man has an innate desire to build and to create his own business, to be an entrepreneur. All of that has to be destroyed. Why? Because you can't have a society, it says, based on continual growth. As societies continue to grow, there's limited resources. So now we must transition into a form of collectivism. A form of collectivism, by the way, they say, which is demasculinized. American man, Western man, thinks that he is above nature, that he has a mandate to subdue nature and to be fruitful and multiply. All of that biblical ideology, it says, has to be gotten rid of. Instead, man is identical to nature because of pantheism, and man must be demasculinized. He must be emasculated to become more like the feminine. So when you see the rise of feminism and when you see all of this nonsense, you have to understand that that's not just an organic movement. It is part of an overall technocratic socialist plan. And in fact, many of the early socialists were all feminists, radical feminists. Some of them were even religious cult leaders who thought that they were female Jesus Messiah figures. You can read about that in Fire in the Minds of Men. For example, there's a whole chapter on socialist feminism. So people that aren't warning about socialism or that aren't warning about technocracy or about this kind of stuff are immediately, I think, suspect. So many, for example, of the normie conservative, the normie cons, you know, the Michael Knowleses, the Matt Walshes, while they say a lot of good things, they really deride this idea of an overall conspiratorial plan, even though I'm citing an actual graduate level textbook from the early 1980s. And people like Willis Harmon, for example, he wrote a book in the early 80s called Millennium. He was a contributor to that book that included people like Timothy Leary, Carl Rogers, and others. And in that book, Willis Harmon wrote about essential and non-essential workers in the early 80s. So these are not random nobodies. These are the real people that Bernays talked about at the beginning of his book on propaganda, that these are the real people that run things. These are the real people that put these ideas into play that you don't know about. You don't know the names of, Bernays says, the social engineers, the psychologists that are really influencing and determining the culture. Now, it doesn't mean every single person in culture is some sort of mind control agent. It means that these entities, and this book, for example, is partnered with all of the top universities in America. So basically, this is a graduate level social engineer international relations text that people like a Brzezinski or a Kissinger would be reading as they are groomed to go up into the establishment to run things, right? These are the ballers and the shot callers. They're the ones running stuff. And this is one of their textbooks that they would read in grad school and post-grad school to understand how to socially engineer. Many people think that religion is not relevant to today's society and we're all based on science and scientism and all this. But this text was telling these elite Kissinger-style leaders in the early 80s that no, religion is very important. In fact, religion is the key to leading people into the future global government. This whole book is about that. In fact, the second half of the book is about transhumanism and transforming man. Again, this is a social engineer's pseudo-religious textbook crafting model. It's like instructions on creating and crafting a future religion. And when you read it, it's exactly what you see the Vatican doing. It's exactly what's in Vatican II documents like Lumen Gentium and Nostra Aetate, both of which talk about all of the religions having a common shared root and all of them being vehicles and pathways that we can all perhaps approach and reach God through. The book goes on in pages 50 and 51 to talk about how Christianity is too positive. In other words, it has too much of a positive appraisal and assessment of man and man's desires and man's ends. It cites John Maynard Keynes, the Fabian socialist par excellence in terms of economics, positively and says that Keynes was a prophet. Man has too much abundance in the West. Because there's limited resources, We've got to inculcate deindustrialization, a post-industrial world, and bringing Batman back to a kind of shamanic indigenous existence. Wealth and money and growth are actually bad now because nature itself shows that you don't need more than what's sufficient for you. So just Marxism, classic Marxism. So how do we get rid of Christianity? Well, it's going to have to be socially engineered away from things like the Ten Commandments, the idea that every human being is made in the image of God. All of those have to be done away with. And we have to radically inculcate people with the notion that colonialism is a great sin. Colonialism, according to fraudster Margaret Mead, makes tribes people want things. So the noble savage, which I think is one of her terms, they never had a desire for greed or wanting any excess. They were indigenous, peace-loving hippie peoples. And then evil Westerners introduced the ideas of fabrics and eyeglasses, and this made the native peoples want stuff when they were naturally Marxist socialists. This is so insane, so ludicrous, but this is the ideology of the elites in our country for the last 40, 50 years. They're taught this at a very high level. This is a real textbook. And I want to shout out to the guy. It goes for $2,000. It's very rare. Shout out to the guy that mailed me a copy. I mean, nobody's going to pay $2,000 for it, but it goes for that because it's really rare in terms of a hard copy. So the Industrial Revolution, it says, was a bad thing ultimately because it gave everybody the idea that we could raise everyone's living standards. And that's not sustainable. So notice sustainability, the green agenda, all of that is directly tied to this. We need, in fact, a movement towards something like socialism, it says, and away from anything to do with individual entrepreneurship and capitalism or private property. The conclusion is that man is alienated, and the only way for him to get out of this alienation is to integrate into some sort of communal style socialist living. The next chapter did surprise me. It goes on to talk about Thomas Kuhn and paradigms and philosophy. But the problem is that while it admits many things that are true about atheism and nihilism and Darwinism, their solution isn't Christ or Christianity. Their solution is actually to go back to some kind of ancient pagan religion. Alex used to talk for years about the Rio de Janeiro plans and the meetings at Rio. And that's exactly what this book is talking about. It's talking about taking us back to a kind of primeval ancient nature religion. And I'll read you exactly what Uthant said. I do not wish to seem overdramatic. I can only conclude from the information available that as Secretary General of the UN, we have perhaps 10 years from which to subordinate all of our quarrels and launch a global partnership to stop the arms race, to improve the human environment, and to stop population growth. To supply momentum to these efforts. We don't create this global government, the whole world will collapse. So this fear model, this idea of if we don't do this in the next 10 years, he was saying this in the 1970s. This is exactly what AOC and all these people, Leonardo DiCaprio, Obama, they say this every decade. We have maybe 10 years. We have maybe 10 years, but it's a giant scam. And even though there might be right wingers who mean well and promote the Vatican, the problem is that the Vatican is now promoting this agenda. Did you not see the Pope on a giant platform blessing a giant ice cube to stop climate change with Arnold Schwarzenegger? I mean, it's almost like we live in some kind of a Saturday Night Live skit. It's like the satire is reality now. And Arnold is up there admitting, the clip is on Twitter, it's a great clip. Look up Arnold Schwarzenegger, climate change, Pope. And Arnold just basically tells you how this scam works. He says that we couldn't get anyone to care about the climate. Do we put a child on the screen and the kid he couldn't breathe. We put them with a gas mask and then everybody cares about the climate. No one cared about climate change until a kid was acting as if he couldn't breathe with a gas mask on. and that pulled on the heartstrings. And then it got everybody into climate change. But he's admitting it was staged. There's no place where air is going away and kids are having to breathe with gas masks, right? That doesn't exist, but it works for propaganda. And he's laughing at how low level and simplistic the propaganda was in the clip. I don't know if you guys can find it. Just type in. It's a really funny clip, actually, if you can find Arnold on Twitter at the climate change event with Pope Leo. And Arnold gives this little talk about how you dupe the masses. Arnold is the kind of guy who would be reading these kinds of texts. I don't know if he has. I'm just saying that people who are groomed and brought into higher level establishment style positions, and I think Arnold has been promoted. I mean, he went to Bilderberg, I think, many years ago at one point. And so that's a sign of kind of a establishment approval. You know, this is necessary for you to get to that level. You have to kind of go along with this propaganda. And it's not accidental that this goofball, you know, Bilderberg bodybuilder weirdo is there with the Pope, who's blessing ice cubes to stop climate change. That's a sign that the papacy, again, is telling you that they're all on board with this technocratic socialist agenda. The promotion of multiple pro-Skittles, pro-gay people in the Vatican by Pope Leo is another sign. They had a giant rainbow cross gay procession into the Vatican a few weeks ago with Pope Leo's approval. So what does that tell you about the demasculinization of the West and of Western man and what type of religion they want to inculcate and promote? It tells you everything. And in fact, books written decades ago by people like Father Seraphim Rose, books like Nihilism, The Religion, The Roots of the Revolution, books like Orthodoxy and the Religion of the Future actually predicted that Hinduism, Chrislam, all of these religions melding together would be the way that this elite power structure would roll out their control system. Yeah, here's this event, and you can see the Pope here. I can't see Arnold, but Arnold's definitely there. And it's all about one world religion under the guise of climate change. And if you remember the Global Revolution text from the Club of Rome, they actually say in the text that they would create a fear and a delusion that we are all dying from pollution. The first Global Revolution text admits that they invented the idea that man is the problem on planet Earth. There's Arnold. And when Arnold describes the propaganda, it's amazing. If you go to my wall, you have to scroll down a few days, but there's a great explanation from Arnold about this event. But yeah, this should tell you everything. I mean, actions signify the beliefs of these people. And in order to make man the villain, they have to change man's view of himself and man's view of society. They have to change images of man. And the book says not just the images of man himself, but changing man's image of the world and how man views other men. So basically inculcating this holistic collectivist ideology, but it's not just a collectivism that's political. It's a collectivism of we are all one. We are one with the earth. We are all one giant blob people group, which we're not. So it's the return to Babel. It's a divide and conquer through Babel, when in fact Christianity is not about Babel. It's the opposite of Babel. It's the opposite of a giant single world government. It's about the maintaining of Christian nation states, Christian kings, Christian kingdoms. And the last point I'll say about this is that another point that proves what I'm saying about the Vatican is there's an entire Vatican II document about a political policy. It's called Gaudium et Spes. Gaudium et Spes. It's pretty long, but I did a video lecturing through this text. So this idea that Catholicism is beige and trad and this and that, it's not true. In fact, Gaudium et Spes argues for total open borders. It argues for chain migration. It argues for dearmament. It argues for Marxist socialist technocratic policies all throughout the document. And I say that because this is a forgotten document. So when you go to the right-wing commentators that are out there and they try to get you into traditional Catholicism, they're not even in line with their own authoritative Vatican pronouncements in Vatican II. Gaudium et Spes is a socialist Marxist Fabian document explicitly, but they don't ever talk about that. Why aren't they talking about that? Why don't they talk about the problem of Islam as well as the problem of Zionism? These are all issues. These are all problems. This is Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. You can follow me on X. I cover all these topics on my channel. I go into a lot of depth. We lecture through dozens of these books. And you can get my books in the shop at Jay's Analysis. And go to the Alex Jones store and support Alex by getting those products there as well.
Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone. That is the precursor to glutathione and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com for 50% off.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.